the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It's Monday, the 10th of November, 2025. We have a absolutely gigantic show for you today. I'm going to try to take a bird's eye view for most of this show. I'll give you the details, certainly, but more of the overall arc of history and where we land in that trajectory. We do have a lot to talk about. No guests today, so we will be opening up the phone lines for your calls. A whole weekend's worth of nonsense to talk about. So let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch. For Monday, the 10th of November, 2025, former Capitol Police officer, a forensic match for January 6th pipe bomber, sources say. This, of course, broke last Friday. I wasn't here. Thank you to Rob Dew for covering for me. But it continued to be a major story throughout the weekend, and new developments are breaking this week. A computer program that compared the bomb suspect's gait, the way she walked, to that of Shawnee Kerkhoff, produced a 94% match. So this forensic analysis sought to confirm a suspect who was a Capitol Police officer for 4.5 years who left the department mid-2021 for a security detail at the CIA, sources told Blaze News. Again, we'll get into this. And the thing to understand is just this is yet another piece of evidence in what we've known since the day it happened. January 6th was a setup, highly orchestrated, highly choreographed with false flag upon false flag. And, of course, the bomb was, you know, integral in all of that because – I don't know if you know this, the reason the Capitol was evacuated was the bomb threat. The bomb threat happened before any, you know, barrier had been broken or people had stormed in. So first you plant the fake bomb, you discover the bomb, you evacuate everybody, then you attack the crowd, allow them to storm the Capitol. By that point, everybody's evacuated because of the aforementioned bomb threat, a very well-designed operation, but it's all unraveling now. Meanwhile, Supreme Court rejects bid to overturn decision legalizing same-sex marriage. U.S. Supreme Court on November 10th rejected a challenge to its landmark 2015 ruling that requires all states to grant licenses for same-sex marriage. Now, I think it was wrong for them to do it in 2015. However, this is a good thing, actually. Actually, them not doing this right now is a good thing for us because this is something that would have massively activated leftists and Democrats for the foreseeable future. So thank you, Supreme Court. Let's just deal with the gay marriage. Now we got a lot of other stuff to deal with. Let's not kick the hornet's nest of, oh my God, they hate gay people. Let's all go vote. Just please, please just focus on saving the country. Then we can do all of the other stuff. Meanwhile, Kiev targets Russia's energy supply after a massive attack on Ukraine power grid. Several Ukrainian regions suffered total power outages on Sunday after Russia launched what the state grid operator called the most massive strike against Ukraine's power plant since the beginning of Moscow's full-scale invasion of the country. And in fact, there are satellite views where Ukraine now looks a lot like North Korea, where all the other countries are lit up and Ukraine is basically entirely black because Russia wiped out their energy production as that senseless, pointless, ill-advised conflict continues to get worse and worse. Hey, speaking of, Trump welcomed Syria's Shara in first-of-its-kind visit. Syrian President Shara makes the first White House visit of a Syrian head of state. Al-Shara arrived at the White House around 11:30 a.m. and shortly after began his Oval Office meeting, which remained closed to the press. The Syrian president slash former ISIS decapitator had a great time in Washington. Isn't that wonderful? It was about a year ago that there was a $10 million bounty on his head for all of the terrorism that he committed, but now I guess he's serving our interests. So we'll be friends with him until it's time to throw him under the bus and go to war with him. That's the strategy we usually pursue. Of course, it's all about Israel. That'll be a theme in today's show. And finally, we have this government shutdown latest. The Senate moves towards ending the shutdown as Trump says some air controllers may be docked. A new bill to end the government shutdown was released and then quickly advanced by the Senate on Sunday in the most direct sign yet that the record-setting stoppage could soon come to an end. Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I know we were all wondering what we were going to do. We've all been, you know, frozen since the government shutdown, right? We haven't done anything, right?
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like Yeah, he's ready for the next.
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Share those links. Follow us on X. And we so appreciate your support at TheAlexJonesStore.com. I got so much to get to. It's not even funny. And I'm sort of tempted to just get right into the Republican Civil War, but I'm so exhausted by this topic. But it continues. It continues unabated. And in fact, it's accelerating in certain regards. I've got more clips of Jonathan Greenblatt and Ben Shapiro than anybody wants to watch, but they're still very much on the warpath. And I can't help but think that this is sort of the overarching conflict that will determine the outcome of all the other conflicts. Will we actually have an America First Party? Will we actually do something in the future to substantially change the trajectory that the Western world is on? Or will we wallow forever in the absurdity that's been foisted on us? A lot of it depends on whether or not we even have a single party anywhere in the Western world that can actually stand up for the rights, privileges, benefits, citizenry of the country that they're supposed to represent. It's a pretty big issue. It's sort of the defining conflict of the modern age. So we are going to cover that quite a bit, and I've got some revelations about it that I think you may be interested in. But why is this important? Why is it so urgent that we get over this hump and focus on maintaining power into the future? Because the Democrats are not even remotely shy about what they intend come 2028. So I want to go to this clip of this old weirdo. What's his name? The Cajun guy, the raging Cajun fella. Because he's not shy about it. He tells us exactly, you know, what their plans are. And it has to do with absolutely packing the Supreme Court so they can continue to dominate forever. Let's go to clip number 57 here. It's whatever this jackass's name is, Carville, James Carville, explaining to everybody what the Democrats intend, and they sure do seem confident that they're going to achieve it. Let's watch. Clip 57.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. A Democrat is going to be elected in 2028. You know that. I know that. It's going to be a Democratic House. It's going to be a Democratic Senate. The Democratic president is going to announce a special transition advisory committee on the reform of the Supreme Court, that we could have our third branch of government has lost the faith and trust of American people. And his president would are going to do everything along. He's going to appoint a blue ribbon, maybe Judge Luttig and the dean of the, you know, just the usual fucking suspects. All right. And they're going to recommend that the number of Supreme Court justices go from 9 to 13. That's going to happen, people. That's going to happen to you. They're going to win. They're going to do some blue ribbon panel of distinguished jurists, and they are going to recommend 13, and a Democratic Senate and House are going to pass it, and the Democratic president is going to sign it because they have to do an intervention. So we can have a Supreme Court that the American people trust again. So just keep that in the back of your mind. And I would bet a lot of money that that's what's going to happen. A lot.
There you go. That's James Carville just laying it out for you in perfectly clear English. And it's amazing because he's even like, you know, yeah, we'll have like a blue ribbon panel or whatever. I mean, this is how they do it. And the American people are so stupid that they can come out and say what they're planning on doing and people will still fall for it. Like, you understand, if their intention is to pack the Supreme Court with four extra jurors, take it from 9 to 13, they're just going to do that. But they understand that that would look maybe a little bit one-sided, maybe a little bit tyrannical, maybe a little bit unfair, anti-democratic. So they're going to have a blue ribbon panel of distinguished jurists who will decide on what they already have decided. But then you understand, like, once they do that, you know, they'll announce, oh, they just think we should, take the Supreme Court to 13. And all the dummies out there will go, well, you know, if the blue ribbon panel says it, I mean, they were distinguished jurists after all. You know, I thought maybe this would be a partisan thing from the Democrats, but no, they had that blue ribbon committee that they kept, you know, asserting, they kept claiming over and over again that they were nonpartisan, unbiased. So, you know, if they say 13, then I guess we'll go with that. They are literally laying out their PSYOP for everybody to see. And maybe we should take them seriously. Maybe we should take them exactly as seriously as they seem to be taking this. So again, just same image as ever. We have the gun and they're sitting there making videos going, well, when we get back into office, we're going to take that gun and shoot them in the head with it. So don't tell them or else they might shoot us. But they're too cowardly to shoot us. We'll shoot them as soon as we get it. Mark my words. And it's like, okay, let's shoot them in the head. Metaphorically, by which I mean pack the Supreme Court. Because then we can achieve things that we seem incapable of achieving for some reason. For some godforsaken reason. We have such a brief period here to make the most of this. And it's unbelievably infuriating how off the mark we are. And look, I don't know anybody that disagrees with this. I don't know anybody except maybe Trump himself who thinks things are going well. And that might just be him gilding the lily or whatever the term is, making things look nicer than they really are. Like, they came out today and he's just like, there is no affordability crisis. It's like, yes, there is. What are you talking about? Why do you keep celebrating victory when we still are very much in the trenches and not achieving what we should be achieving? It's a bit very infuriating. And again, I was trying not to just go right into this, but we're just going to do it. We're just going to get into it because this really is the decider. This is the thing that we're all trying to figure out. How are we ever going to win when we are engaged in this absurd civil war with MAGA? The MAGA civil war. How are we going to, and let me just say, when it comes to actual civil war, see, I gotta figure out how to lay all this out. Okay. Actual civil war is not a viable path. Okay. It's not a viable path for a couple of reasons. The main reason being that the left in this country are not just other Americans with a different idea of how America should be. They are not American. They don't have loyalty to America. They don't like America. They genuinely want America to go away forever. And most of them are foreign. The majority of the people that, you know, are engaged in driving us towards this aren't even American in any respect, except that they're here and they hate us. If actual conflict starts, if there's actually like bloody battles in the street and like fighting block to block, you absolutely know the first thing they would do would be to call on the UN and NATO and China and any other military force to come save the poor, oppressed, whatever, from big bad Nazi Trump. And they would, and the powers that be all across the world are eagerly awaiting that moment to contribute to the, you know, final blow and truly destroy the powerhouse that is the United States. Civil war is not an option for us. Like all things, you know, if we were sealed off, if we were actually, you know, not a part of the world and just had America in some pocket dimension somewhere, then I wouldn't worry about a civil war. The right wing would just mop the floor with the left and it would be fun. It would be fun at the end of the day. It'd be brutal and miserable, but also very much fun. But that's not the world we live in. We live in a deeply interconnected world, a lot of major powers with very heavy weaponry that would be called upon by the people in our own country to kill us. So civil war is not an option. Let's just take that off the table. Now, if you want to talk about military action in America, then that's got to happen now while we are still in charge. But civil war is basically off the table. It just doesn't work because we have wolves outside of the door waiting for the fight to start so they can, you know, bust in and wreck us. So we have to win politically. We have to win politically in an overwhelming and aggressive way. Not politically in that we have to win the debate and get the right votes and move in that direction. No, we have to cross the Rubicon. We have to disenfranchise the left to the maximum degree. And we have to do it strategically and swiftly and without reservation or hesitation. So I'm not saying we have to like not do what's the difficult things that are necessary, but taking it to civil war level, it would not be beneficial for anybody. So we have to win politically in an overwhelming fashion. And the one thing most preventing us from doing that right now is Israel, is the state of Israel, who are working desperately to glue themselves to the right wing in this country, which will make us lose electorally, hugely unpopular. It also completely, misaims the energy and intentions of our politicians. If we are spending very precious time and resources and energy and political capital on serving Israel, then it's not serving us. And our problems are not being solved. They're only getting worse. And then people that are Republican that do want to be on the MAGA train go, well, what the hell? What did I vote for? Nothing that we want is getting done. A bunch of stuff that we explicitly didn't want is happening. And stuff we didn't even know we didn't want is happening. War with Venezuela, nobody even thought that was anywhere on the table, but it's here now. And there's no reason for it. There's no explanation for it. But for some godforsaken reason, we are starting a war in Venezuela. Totally ridiculous. Totally anti-MAGA, not what we want. So when it comes to the MAGA Civil War, to me, the most important thing to understand is that there are two sides to this, and these are the two sides. There is the America First, anti-war, MAGA, sort of libertarian bending, America First patriots versus the insane, rabid, censorious, pro-Israel Zionist side. These are the two sides. Now, there's also a word of warning because what they want the two sides to be perceived as are the fiscally conservative, pro-Israel side that is in favor of the Western world and just respectable and keeping the train on the tracks versus the crazy neo-Nazis and the crypto-communists and the Muslim infiltrators. And it's like, that is not the divide. That is the perceived divide. That is the, fake ghost apparition that they're, tilting against, but it doesn't actually exist. It's not actually real. Now, by being so provocative, by being so unbearable, the Israeli side is trying desperately to create the Nazi side. And I see a lot of people falling for this. In fact, I have a video from Ian Carroll where he's, asked people, like, don't give in to hate, basically. And a bunch of people going, no, shut up. It's time to hate. And it's like, what do you not understand about the fact that that is literally exactly what they want? They desperately want the division to be between the respectable and kind and, yeah, they're pro-Israel, but really they're just fiscally conservative and, the old guard that you can trust with your money versus the crazy hateful neo-Nazis. Like, don't give them what they want, my God. It's also just not good for you or your soul, but politically, strategically, it ain't good. Now, with all of the claims that MAGA is being infiltrated by Nazis, I think it's worth asking the question, what is a Nazi? What even is that at this point? What does that even mean? I know what I think of when I think of Nazis, but I don't think it's what they're talking about when they say Nazis. And we've got articles that are like kind of hilarious where they say this from Daily Beast. Republican insider admits party is now open to actual Nazis. actual Nazis, folks. That's right. There's a time machine involved, I think. Because what the hell are Nazis? Now, if you ask someone like ChatGPT to give you the actual definition of Nazis, it's a supporter of the National Socialist German Workers' Party from the 1920s. Is that who they're talking about? Are they saying that the Republican Party is now open to people who genuinely believe in workers' rights in Germany and is still pissed off about the Treaty of Versailles? Is that what they're talking about? Or does Nazi have a different definition that maybe we can uncover as we explore the way it's used? I don't think there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that is worried about, I don't know, things like preserving the Aryan race's, you know, genetic superiority. I don't think they're worried very much about establishing a racial hierarchy. They're certainly not in favor of government-owned businesses, government-controlled corporations or industries. They're not exactly agitating for Lebensraum in talking about invading Poland. So what do you mean there are actual Nazis? What could that possibly mean? And then it gets weird. And again, I'm just trying to puzzle this out. I'm sorry to pause here, but it gets a little bit confusing. But I think if we just take away all of the insinuations and the context and the whatever, what's actually happening here is that they're putting the label Nazi on people that are anti-Israel or anti-Jewish influence in America, because that is, I guess, an overlap of the Venn diagram of actual Nazis and just people on the right that don't like being taken advantage of by a foreign state. They do have that overlap. And so when they say Nazi, what they actually mean is just sort of anti-Israel. Now, the reason that Nazis were originally despised, the reason we went to war with them. Now, remember, the Nazis, like the death camps, the Holocaust, that wasn't even a thing until after the war. Like, nobody knew about it. It wasn't like the reason we went to war. Nobody even knew about it until after the war. And even then, it took like, you know, 50 years or whatever for it to even get into the encyclopedia as a thing that happened. But regardless, the reason we hated the Nazis was because they practiced collective punishment. It was because they did have a sense of superiority and treated people that weren't of their ethnicity like animals, like dirt, with no human rights or respect whatsoever. Totalitarianism, censorship, right? Authoritarianism, using force to compel obedience in their citizenry. In other words, all of the things that Israel is doing right now, all of the things that define the outrage that the so-called Nazis in the Republican Party have about our support to Israel and the way that they behave. So in this weird inversion, I think you can see now why it's kind of hard to even talk about this, is that the Republican Party is full of Nazis who are the people that resolutely stand against all of the thing that Nazis do and the Nazis are about and are hated for. And so it's a little bit confusing. It's a little bit wonky. Like, I don't quite get it. I mean, the example I've used often is, you know, over the Halloween holiday a couple weeks ago, there was a guy that was dressed up like a Nazi. He tried to get into a bar and was assaulted, and people were basically pushing him and shoving him, yelling at him, getting in his face and trying to rip his clothes off, because he had like a Nazi armband and they were like trying to rip it off of him. And then he was arrested because he fought back the people that were attacking him. Now, that's a story straight out of Nazi Germany. It's just, you know, the characterization would have been inverted. You wouldn't be surprised if you'd heard about a Jewish person wearing a, you know, outwardly, explicitly Jewish piece of clothing, being surrounded by a mob and attacked, and people tried to rip it off. And when he defended himself, the police arrested him and threw him in jail for daring to, you know, instigate a fight with Germans by being Jewish in their presence. So again, it's like, okay, they're outraged at the symbol, the crooked cross, the swastika, I'm outraged at the thing the symbol is supposed to represent, which is violence in response to free speech, which is attacking people on the basis of their belief system and assaulting them if they don't, you know, denounce it. So everything's a little bit inverted. Everything's a little bit weird. Everything's a little bit wonky. Okay. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I have to admit. And so if you look through like what, you know, like the reason that we actually went to war with the Nazis, it is actually everything that describes Israel, right? German aggression and expansion. Okay. Like starting war with Gaza in order to annex it, the Greater Israel Project. Okay, great. Threat to global stability. Can you point to a bigger one than Israel? Fascism and totalitarianism. They say the Nazi ideology directly opposed the values of democracy and freedom held by Western nations. They suppressed free speech, banned opposition parties, and murdered political opponents. Remind you of anybody? Assassination, censorship. It's fascinating. Who does this describe? The Holocaust and human rights atrocities. As the war progressed, it became clear that Nazi Germany was committing genocide on an unprecedented scale, but was really nothing compared to what Israel is currently doing in front of everybody in the full view of cell phone cameras. So when they say there are Nazis in the Republican Party, what they mean is that there are anti-Nazis in the Republican Party. What they mean is that there are people that don't like when Jews in Israel do what the Germans in Nazi Germany were doing. And they want to saddle you with the label of Nazi because you're standing up against their Nazi-like behavior. It's confusing, but it's actually fairly simple. It's actually not all that complicated. Especially when you get down to things like an article that came out over the weekend from Barclay Bram. Make America procreate again among the MAGA fertility fanatics. And this was posted on The Economist, and they posted the tweet of this article saying, with Trump in Vance in power, many pronatalists believe this is the moment to jumpstart baby making. But some critics see pronatalism as a part of an insidious project to create a whiter America. Okay, so this was published in The Economist, a major mainstream, you know, international publication. And it is very explicitly claiming that white people having babies is an act of supremacy and an insidious project. It is one of the most hateful and ridiculously genocidal things I've ever seen published. Yes, the author is Jewish. And you have to wonder, with publications like this spreading, is there any way to resist this without being a so-called Nazi, without being labeled a quote-unquote Nazi? Because it seems to me like anybody trying somehow to resist the very deliberate destruction of white people around the world is going to be labeled a Nazi and crushed with everything that the powers that be have. So, you know, we'll expand on this a little bit on the other side. I'll show you some clips from Ben Shapiro and Jonathan Greenblatt. But if we don't come to terms with this and understand this and start moving forward and leaving this in the wake, nothing else is going to get solved. Nothing else matters. We have to get elected next year, and that depends on us breaking with Israel.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, no, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Folks, welcome back. This is the War Room. We'll return to a moment and just in the various ways that America is being scammed out of existence. But I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. Well, let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's turmeric supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's turmeric supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Ultimate Fish Oil is one of the best. I mean, if you take any supplement, it's a pretty high chance that it's fish oil. So if you're going out and buying fish oil from, you know, Amazon or the supermarket, you're really wasting your money. Ultimate Fish Oil is going to be a superior quality at 40% off. It's probably going to be significantly cheaper than whatever you get at a store. And it's from InfoWars that keeps us going. It really is a 360 win. It's a powerful supplement, and not all fish oil supplements are created equal. Ours is the best source, the best quality, the highest concentration. The targeted release, you don't get the burps that you get with the lower quality, cheaper, crappy stuff. Not even cheaper. Cheaper, by which I mean less quality, not less expensive, because in fact ours is less expensive than the much, much lower quality stuff that you'll find at supermarkets and online. So please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy. Now, I gotta admit, I'm like a little bit, I'm a little bit black-pilled today, just because when you really take in and just like sit back and absorb all of the various ways that humanity is being utterly screwed, that America is being scammed and destroyed from the inside out, it's really overwhelming. And once again, I feel like I'm looking at the Gordian knot, just being like, yeah, we got to just cut this with a sword. Yeah, we just need to slice right through this and just start over from scratch somehow, because it's too much. It really is overwhelming, the amount of money, the amount of destruction that we've wrought on ourselves, because there's like multiple layers to every single one of these things. I'll play a couple videos. All right, let's go to clip 58 here. This is one of the main reasons I think the SNAP program is being allowed to continue on. Well, that's because the government reopens, or because they just do it anyway. They're going to pay for SNAP benefits, and thank goodness, because otherwise, what would Walmart do? Here's how Walmart benefits from the SNAP program: direct injections of cash from your pocketbook to their corporation. Let's watch clip 58 now.
So all of a sudden, Walmart's dropping prices after SNAP benefits get cut off? Not exactly, but let me break it down so you understand how it really works. And remember this, subsidies always lead to inflation. See, Walmart pulls in about $25 billion a year from SNAP. That's a guaranteed government paycheck. And when Biden exploded SNAP by 6%, Walmart turned around and raised prices 25% or more, blaming inflation. But it was really manipulation, because when the government hands out more money, of course demand's gonna go up. It's basic economics. So now SNAP's paused. You'd think prices would drop, right? Not so fast, because instead of cutting prices, Walmart is cutting inventory to keep the inflated prices stable, when we all know that the demand was never real in the first place. So tell me again, how does it make sense to fund a program where 70% of the money doesn't even go to Americans, and at the same time drives up prices on everyone? That's the government transferring your taxes to big corporations who then charge you higher prices. And that's the way it works.
So that's what I mean. Like, how many ways are we being screwed right there? It's like, okay, money is being taken from productive people and given to unproductive people. Walmart is being injected with $25 billion of government money, right? You can just picture, like, the government is taking money out of your bank account and just giving it to Walmart so they can feed people who don't work, don't pull their own weight, and of intergenerational dependency on your money being given to that major corporation, which in turn, you know, donates money to the Democrats, sponsors all sorts of horrible things, hires, you know, immigrants, participates in the tent program, you know, destroys your country in a variety of different ways, and it makes the prices higher. So your wallet's getting squeezed in that direction too. So in this one, you know, act of transfer of SNAP benefits from the taxpayer dollars you pay into Walmart's coffers, you get screwed over like five different ways. It's your money being taken, your prices go up, a corporation that hates you gets funded, and people that don't work and don't contribute anything benefit at your expense. And that's just one example, $25 billion a year directly into the coffers of the stockholders of Walmart as they buy chips and soda and whatever else. That's just one. Let's go to clip 44 here. Over 1 million stolen identities of Americans were used to make false Medicare claims, stealing another $14.6 billion from you every single year. Let's go to clip number 44.
We are announcing today charges against 324 defendants for their alleged participation in healthcare fraud schemes involving approximately $14.6 billion in false claims submitted to Medicare, Medicaid, and other healthcare programs. The largest coordinated healthcare fraud takedown in the history of the Department of Justice. To make matters worse, these perpetrators used the stolen identities of more than 1 million Americans spanning all 50 states to perpetrate this scheme and submit these false claims. But I'm pleased to report that federal agents intercepted and arrested key members of that organization at U.S. airports and the U.S.-Mexico border, cutting off their intended escape route.
So there you go. Foreigners coming into America and just bilking the Medicare system for $14.6 billion. Just 320 of them. What's 14.6 billion divided by 320? And they're ready to escape back to their home countries when we caught them at the last moment. God only knows how many other situations like this are happening. I mean, I could show you story after story. I don't even cover them because it's like it'd take too much time, but it's routine. There's an Indian, like a grocery store that was just discovered. They were claiming that they were creating food for elementary schools and feeding 6,000 kids a day. Every single day they were sending a bill for 6,000 meals. They never produced a single meal. This went on for like years. I've explained it a lot over and over again, but I still think people have trouble comprehending this. Other cultures aren't like our culture, okay? When you hear something like that, when you hear that they're, you know, setting up fake, you know, clinics and, you know, paying or, you know, sending bills to Medicare and getting paid out from the government, you're probably rightly appalled by that. You recognize that it's not good. If everybody acted that way, we couldn't have a civilization. You can't behave that way. They just think they're being clever. They're just like, well, you're stupid. You set up a system where we can just send you a bill and you pay it. Of course we're going to send you a bill until you stop paying it. And then we're going to run away. Like, you're an idiot for doing that. Again, people have this idea that, like, Western culture, Western ideals, Western virtues are universal. They are not. They're not. They're better than all of the other virtues. They're better than what other cultures value, but you can't make them value them. They just don't. And acting as if everybody has our same values when they don't is just a recipe for disaster. We can go on. So far we've seen, what is it, $25 billion from Walmart, $15 billion from fraud. Those are nothing. Those are really chump change compared to what our government, again, steals from you to give to people who are just actively disintegrating the fabric of your society. Let's go to clip number 35 now.
I'd like to ask Mr. Carroll, and anybody else would like to answer this, can you name some of these NGOs that have specifically taken these hundreds of millions of dollars and not used it to protect these children?
Catholic Charities, Lutheran Family Services, Jewish Family Services. I spoke to a gentleman that works in DHS. He actually sends the electronic fund transfers, and I asked him, sir, tell me, who are you responsible for, and how much is the largest check you cut? He said, I'm over Jewish Family Services, and I cut a check for $600 million. And I said, is that for like 3 years? And he told me, JJ, get in the game. That's 2 or 3 months, and it's renewable.
Every 2 or 3 months, the United States government is sending Jewish Family Services, the immigration promoter facilitator, $600 million. They're getting checks for $600 million. Now, unlike things like SNAP, unlike even things like Medicare fraud, which ostensibly Medicare, you know, if it's not fraudulent, it's probably a good thing. There's nothing remotely good about what the immigration system does. This is just paying $600 million every 2 to 3 months to bring people in to go on all of the other services we offer. For every dollar we spend on Jewish family services to bring in migrants, we probably have to pay an extra $3 to $5 once they're here on other benefits that they receive once they've gone through the process from these immigration groups. Okay, so your money's being robbed to pay for corporations like Walmart, so they don't have to pay living wages, so they don't have to actually serve their customers. They just directly transfer money from your pocket to their corporation, and then they give a bunch of dependents a bunch of sugary drinks to make them sick to prop up the healthcare system. I mean, it's very convenient sort of hand washing hand. Or they're taking billions upon billions of dollars to pay for healthcare needs for people that either shouldn't be in this country or don't even exist, and it's just completely fraudulent. But all of that's being facilitated and exacerbated and made that much worse by the hundreds of millions of dollars we dole out monthly to the people whose entire career and operation and institution does nothing all day every day but put more burdens on our systems, undermine our laws, destroy our national cohesion, and piss everybody off. Great, wonderful, thank you so much for all of that. So again, you look at all this stuff and you just go, I don't even think we can solve this piece by piece. It's so overwhelming. The scams are so monumental and ubiquitous. It's like, what are we even going to do to stop this? And it's coming all the more difficult because as these operations continue, as these programs expand and, you know, get put into place, the people that are here in America are less and less American every year and don't actually care about the values and virtues that we uphold. See, all of these things are all examples of what I always talk about, which are the vulnerabilities of a society that values liberty. We want to help people, so we have Medicare. We don't want people to go hungry, so we have SNAP. We want to be a safe harbor for people fleeing violence, so we have the asylum program. And at each instant, these ostensibly good, beneficial, charitable programs are seized by the left and taken advantage of as much as they possibly can, making the entire thing insolvent and really proving that you can't have an open society, you can't have an open civilization with liberty and freedom and free will with people like this taking advantage of you at every pass because they have no internal compunction to doing so. There's nothing inside them that tells them this is wrong because the way they grew up, this is what you're supposed to do. If America is getting taken advantage of, it's not because they're evil and taking advantage of it. It's because America is stupid and deserves it. Again, you can call me whatever names you want. This is reality. And if you don't recognize it, you're going to be a victim of it. Let's go to clip 26 here. I'm not the only one saying this. I'm just probably the only one saying it in the way that I am. But everybody knows this to be true. You have to just wade through a bunch of, you know, weasel words and hemming and hawing to get to the actual point. People outside of the West think cheating is a virtue. Okay, let's watch. Clip 26 here.
Which is a very sensitive topic, but I think we can't avoid talking about it. It is simply a fact that fraud and cheating and academic dishonesty are regarded very differently in China and India than they are here in the United States. Many people in this room are college students. We've got a lot of students here. Many of you probably attend schools with large numbers of international students. I am sure you have observed organized cheating rings. I was recently at an alumni event at my alma mater, and I asked students there, both international students and American-born students whose parents were Indian or Chinese immigrants, and they all said that from day one of enrolling in their classes, they were inundated with WhatsApp messages offering services of essay writing or to sell them copies of tests in advance or to involve them in homework rings where they would give you the answer to that week's problem set. If you talk to professors at schools that have large numbers of international students, they'll tell you off the record, that the, for example, the test of English as a foreign language, which is supposed to test your English proficiency in order to come here and become an international student, they see students every year whose scores indicate that they ought to be proficient in English, but who, when you meet the student, can't carry on a simple conversation, can't follow a simple lecture. Professors will only tell you this off the record for a lot of reasons. One, because the schools don't want to publicize that they now have a cheating problem, but also because it can get them in trouble. I'll tell you an anecdote from the University of Maryland, just in our backyard here. A professor there at their business school ended up having to throw out all of the results of a final exam for one of his classes because cheating was so rampant. And in telling his students, in telling his class that he was throwing out all of their test scores, he expressed his dismay at the rise in academic dishonesty that he had observed in the period when foreign students from China had begun to enroll in large numbers in the business school there. That professor was forced to resign because the Chinese students whose cheating he had detected went to the administration and accused him of racial profiling. This is very common. You see it a lot at the UC schools in California, which also have large numbers.
So there you go.
Again,
you know, she goes on about this, but everybody I've talked to that's in a school with a lot of Asians says exactly the same thing. In fact, there was kind of a funny story. I think it was an exchange student to China. And the story is, you know, he gets in one of these WhatsApp groups about cheating, and he tells his professor, and the professor is like, "What? And they didn't include you? I'll have a talk with them and make sure they include you in the WhatsApp next time." Like, he was confused. He thought that the guy was coming to complain that he wasn't being allowed to cheat with everybody else. It like didn't even make sense to the professor that the guy was coming and going, "Hey, these students are cheating because everybody cheats. It's because it's like what you're supposed to do." Again, they think it's clever. They think it's clever. They think they're doing the right thing. So whenever you hear about meritocracy, whenever you hear about H-1B visas and, you know, the best and brightest, just remember these are coming from universities, technically, which are actually diploma mills, which the institutions themselves will help the people cheat because they get kickbacks when those people take their really good grades and go get a job in one of our companies. You know, they'll get kickbacks for facilitating that transfer. It's a scam. It's all a giant scam. Okay? Should we keep going? I mean, there's more ways that we're being torn apart. One of the most common ones we see almost on a daily basis now, clip 29, is the insanity of letting the same person out of prison over and over and over and over when they just keep committing crimes, sometimes the same crime over and over and over. And it's just like there's so many of these things going on relentlessly in every corner of the country. I could show you probably a dozen examples just this week of people with rap sheets, you know, 10 incidents or more in their lives. And that's a low number, but like at least 10 incidents. Killing somebody, raping somebody, breaking somebody's arm in an attack over and over and over and over and over. Here's just one example. This one from New Mexico, clip 29.
Please share your thoughts or comments after watching this video. My name is Jeremy Story. I'm the chief of police for the Las Cruces Police Department. In April of 2024, we had a town hall to discuss crime in Las Cruces. Afterwards, we were in the parking lot of City Hall when we heard glass breaking. We found Mr. Neil Garcia breaking several windows at City Hall, and he was charged with felony vandalism. 2 months later, he broke 9 more windows at City Hall and was charged again. Why do I bring up these cases other than the obvious irony? Because a case was recently dismissed by a district court judge because Mr. Garcia was found to be incompetent. The judge also denied a petition by the district attorney's office for assisted outpatient treatment, or AOT, and the judge did not use the new community-based restoration option that's available in New Mexico. That means the case was dismissed without any consequences, without treatment or resources. Why is this concerning in a microcosm of the New Mexico criminal justice system? Let me give you a little bit more history. Mr. Garcia has been arrested at least 108 times, with at least 15 of those being felonies. He has felony convictions in 2007, 2008, 2012, 2013, and 2018. All 5 of those felony convictions, he was deemed a habitual offender. But obviously the sentencing wasn't enough to keep him from reoffending. Starting in 2022, Mr. Garcia had several cases dismissed because he was found incompetent. And again, that's being dismissed without consequences or treatment. He was also deemed to be not dangerous by the courts. But let me give you a few of his recent involvements. In November of 2022, he was confronted by a GameStop employee where he cussed him out and pushed him. In December of 2022, Mr. Garcia was caught shoplifting at a Walgreens. He threatened the security guard that he had a gun, and then he punched him. In April of 2023, he had two incidents where he was caught shoplifting, one at a Dollar General where he swung a strap with a lock on it at an employee, and the other at Lowe's Fiesta Foods where he threatened several employees and then punched the manager. In June of 2023, he threatened employees at the Savers thrift store with a bat. In July of 2023, Mr. Garcia punched a Murphy's gas station employee and then threw a rock through the window of a random vehicle in the parking lot. In August and September of 2023, he punched two separate people at Albertsons while being confronted with shoplifting. In March of 2024, he swung a golf club at two separate people while shoplifting at Harbor Freight. In April of 2025, Mr. Garcia punched a Walmart employee after he was caught shoplifting. I would argue that he poses a clear danger to the public and the community. And the people he is victimizing are people who are just working and trying to live their lives in the community that we all share. From 2022 to 2025, he has been arrested over 70 times. The district attorney's office has petitioned for involuntary commitment and assisted outpatient treatment, but neither was granted by the court. I wish this was an outlier, but it's not. This is not an exception. This is the rule. My officers are out there arresting him and others like him every day without options. Please share your ideas or thoughts in the comments about how we can make Las Cruces in New Mexico safer.
How about you just kill that guy? Hey, I have an idea. If that guy wasn't around, I bet you'd lower the crime rates like 10%. Legally, obviously, I'm not calling for vigilantism. I'm saying the court should give him the death penalty because he's clearly incapable of existence with other human beings. 108 convictions. 108. And it's at the point now, like, do you understand what he just said? And it's, again, across the country. If you are deemed mentally incompetent, you know, there's a chance that you're going to be sent to a hospital and they'll evaluate you, and eventually you'll get to a point where you can, you know, be let out or be, you know, tried at that point. But apparently it's also just an excuse to let you go. Hey, Michael Graves. Hey, there's a poster for Michael Graves. That's kind of cool. If you are incompetent to stand trial, you are incompetent to exist in America, okay? Yeah, no, it is literally like we're in Grand Theft Auto. 108 convictions. And again, that's not even the most. This is just one guy. But they keep letting him out 108 times. So I don't even know. I don't even know what to do anymore. It's just like we're being screwed at every different level. And we're paying for ourselves to be screwed. And there's no end in sight. And the Republicans do post after post after post online about why you have to shut up about Israel. And it's like, do you not see we're being torn apart at the seams? What are you doing?
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
Has come out, and Trump didn't do what he says he's going to do. He's very serious about things.
The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. This is not going to happen. The killing of Christians is not going to happen.
And that's the religion of peace.
The entire purpose of Islam, according to all Islamic doctrine, is to ensure that there is an Islamic state throughout the entire world called a caliphate, and under that, Sharia or Islamic law is the law of the land. That's it. Islam breaks the entire world into two parts, the Dar al-Islam, where Sharia is the law of the land, and the Dar al-Harb, the house or abode of war, where there is not Sharia as the law of the land. The function of Islam is to eliminate the Dar al-Harb until the entire world is a Dar al-Islam. And the vehicle to do that is called what? Jihad, which in 100% of all published Islamic law is only defined as warfare against non-Muslims.
It is the government's fault, isn't it? They took away stop and search because of woke. They actually stopped policing the dealing and possession of psychosis-inducing drugs within certain communities because of woke. They leave our borders wide open, enabling foreign cartels to run organized crime leading to violence on our streets, from snatchings to muggings to stabbings, because of woke. They've imported in tens of thousands of misogynistic men who want to assault, abuse, leer at, harass, even rape our women and girls, because of woke.
The government says it's not terrorism. Because Islamic terrorism does not exist, and you will be arrested if you say it.
Arresting you on suspicion of improper use of the electronic communications network.
What?
Over 12,000 people per year are arrested in the UK because of their social media posts. That's over 1,000 people per month detained and questioned because they're believed to have caused distress, offence, annoyance, or anxiety, not even necessarily to a specific victim, but it can be to society at large. This is under Section 127 of the Communications Act and Section 1 of the Malicious Communications Act.
Listen, you have to resign Keir Starmer, and there needs to be a general election in the UK. You are not protecting the British people. How many people have to die? How many innocent Britons have to die before you'll get your shit together?
So Keir Starmer has said it's deeply concerning what happened in Huntingdon, Cambridgeshire, on the train tonight, where 9 people are fighting for their life. Deeply concerning, is it? Not disgusting, not outrageous, not this shouldn't be happening.
And the problem that you've got is when you're a psychopath, for whatever reason, you as an innocent person don't have to do anything to wind them up and find yourself stabbed in the head. Normally, if you get into a fight, some kind of altercation, what it means is you've had some kind of row, so you're prepared for some kind of row, or road rage row, where that person might jump out the car for a fight, but you know what's coming. But if you're just a psychopath, you don't have to wind them up. They're already wound up.
And of course, your Home Secretary, this lady Mahmoud, doesn't want you to comment and speculate on the matter. Well, excuse me, it kind of looks like the real racists in the UK are Muslim people who hate white Christians, who want to stab them in these kinds of horrific attacks. You don't see white people doing this.
As the Quran says, God does not burden any soul with more than it can bear. We hope that you have a blessed and fulfilling Ramadan. Peace be upon you all.
As we've taken over the country, officially England's over.
Allahu Akbar.
A man has just been charged with murdering a woman who is let out of jail early by Keir Starmer under his early release scheme.
He's let out 38,000 criminals, and he's planning to let out 10,000 more. When he started this, he was warned by MI5, by the National Crime Agency, by the heads of our police forces, that he was going to endanger the public. But he did it anyway. Keir Starmer has unleashed a crime wave on our streets.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to get back into American politics here in just a second, but since we just watched that Bound report on in the first 5 minutes, which, of course, you can find at InfoWars, at NewsBound, I believe is his X handle, and he does great work and really, really consistent. Please do share those videos. I mean, sometimes it's those little five-minute videos that can really break through when you've got all the clips there lined up. Very powerful stuff, and he was talking about mostly about Europe and what's happening there. So let's stick with that theme for a second, because I've got some clips from today that are hard to believe are real. This one's crazy, folks. It's actually an MP, apparently, and at least that's what the title of it is. Nick Timothy is a British MP. He's trying to talk to some Muslim supremacists who are calling him a dog. And then there's a female police officer, like, right there. And these Muslim random dudes insulting this member of parliament just order the policewoman to silence the member of parliament. And she does. And she just goes along with it. It's crazy. But you're about to see it in real time. Clip 53. Here's a British member of parliament being told to shut up by a police officer because some Muslims ordered her to. Let's watch.
Why do you think I'm a dog?
Officer, can you take this dog away?
You think I'm a dog?
Take this dog away. Can you take this dog away?
I haven't done anything.
Go away.
I'm a citizen of this country, and I'm free to do what I want.
Are we
going to
have an adult conversation?
No, don't.
Is that my choice?
Don't entertain him. I'm asking you a question.
Don't entertain him.
I was trying to have an adult conversation. They started calling me a dog and swearing at me. I haven't done anything. I haven't done anything wrong.
I think it's best that we leave it.
Yeah, you better just leave. You better just get out of here. Just random Muslim in. This guy's a dog. Get him out of here. And she steps in. Sir, I think it's best if you leave. I think it's best if you go away now. It's genuinely insane. Like, are Muslim people in the UK, are they just the nobles now? Like, what they say goes. They are the law. That guy's a member of parliament. And the police step in front of the Muslim guys to ward him off. Sir, just go away. You're a dog. I've been reliably informed you are, in fact, a dog. Kafir, you need to get out of here, dog. I mean, what what goes into a clip like that? What has to happen to a civilization for that to occur? The psychology at play there is kind of horrifying, to be honest with you. I know Alex was going off today about Stockholm Syndrome, which is a strangely appropriate term, actually. When you want to talk about Stockholm, let's take a look at Sweden. Clip 54 here. We can go ahead and roll this as background. Let's go ahead and roll clip 54. This is Sweden's demographics from 2002 to 2025. Here you see it, 2002. It's basically all white there. Not a lot of places with more than, you know, a few percentage points. But you get up to 2012 and everywhere's looking a little yellow. By 2015, it's turning distinctly orange. And by the time you get to 2020, 2021, 2022, it's looking rather dark orange with a large number of counties there down at the bottom being 40, 50, or more than 50% non-Swedish. Okay? Can we, is it possible to cut from the last frame to the first frame so we can see the transition that's gone on here? I mean, this is not an accident. It's not, you know, just, well, people move. This is a deliberate and genocidal act, an attack, a war against the people of Europe, the same war that's being fought against the people of America. If you can't see this for what it is, you're blind. And it should be horrifying to anybody that, you know, doesn't want to be conquered by Muslims and then eradicated. Should be everybody. Let's go to clip number 55. It's actually extremely rare that somebody in Europe actually stands up against this. Of course, they do everything they can to hide it from their people anyway. Do you know that now in France, people are going around filming the streets of France as an act of protest because a French person was thrown in jail for filming Muslims on the street? He didn't say something offensive about them. He didn't, you know, insult them or threaten them. He filmed the reality of mass migration, and they threw him in jail for showing the reality of mass migration. So now it's like a trend in France of people going, well, what the hell? Well, I'm gonna film the Muslims on my street now and upload it. But understand what I just said. They criminalized video evidence of the outcome of their policies. They bring in millions of foreigners. A French man simply films them on the street, and he's thrown in jail for showing the mass migration replacement program at play. Yeah. I'm telling you. And they're the ones talking about democracy. And they're the ones screaming about democracy who claim to support free speech. They will throw you in jail for showing photographic evidence of what your city looks like. No comments, no hate, no nothing. Just the pure, unadulterated evidence of reality is now a crime. Why? Because obviously, if people can see that the outcome of the policies is negative, then they won't like the policies, so they'll vote against them. So in order for the policies to continue, the outcome of the policies has to be hidden, disguised, and eradicated. That's what's going on in Europe. Here's Eva Vlaardingerbroek, clip 55, picking up the mantle, picking up the torch, and hopefully leading Europe into an age where they're not systematically eliminated by their own governments. Let's watch.
She thinks she is above the law, but we are here today to remind her that she is not. So allow me to take this moment, look straight into the camera, and speak truth to power for a moment. Mrs. von der Leyen, do you think about what you have done? Do you think about the people who suffer because of your policies? Do you think about the people who have died because of the vaccine that you pushed on them, that you bought behind closed doors? Mrs. von der Leyen, do you ever think about the cries of the mothers who cry at night because their children were raped or murdered by immigrants that you let in? Do you ever think about the farmers whose entire life's work were destroyed because you pushed the communist agenda? Do you ever think about the people who cannot afford food for their children because you implemented policies that are crippling our economy while you were able to send your 7 children off to the most expensive schools in Europe? Do you ever think about that? I bet you don't, because none of this is happening in your backyard. But, ladies and gentlemen, I do. I think about those people. I think about them. I will not forget them. So let me promise you right here, right now, I will not stop fighting for them. I will not stop fighting for the truth, and I will not stop fighting for my people. The time of zero accountability will come to an end, and I will promise you, we will make Europe great again.
That's Eva Vardinger-Brook at CPAC Hungary this year. Yeah, we need like, a million more of her and Europe will be saved. You know, Europe is going through a similar thing that the Republicans are going through in that they're deliberately acting so outrageous, so offensive, to provoke hate, to provoke threats and violence. That's what they want because enough people are still sort of stuck in this mental prison of racism existing or whatever, Islamophobia being a real thing, that they'll, you know, the average person will cheer on an Islamophobic, you know, a domestic terrorist, hateful racist in prison. So they really, really want that. And it is possible, and it's actually, if you want to achieve it, it's necessary to maintain maintain strategic calmness. Is that a good way of putting it? To not let them force you into the false dichotomy that says either you want your people to be swamped and destroyed and you're fine with Muslims or Africans or anybody coming in and destroying everything and there's no limit and you can't stop it because you're a good human being and good human beings let themselves be conquered, or you're a racist, bigot, hateful monster that wants to kill everybody. It's a false dichotomy. The real dichotomy is between people who are normal and want their countries to continue to exist as they have for literally thousands of years, and the psychopath extremist radicals that are trying everything they can to destroy Europe with everything they've got. Here's a good reminder of that. Clip number 49. Here's a English woman saying, remigration, it's not extreme. It is actually very normal. Let's watch.
Is all of this is simply a return to normality? People need to remember that. This country never needed mass migration. And so when we advocate for remigration or mass deportations, it's simply a return to normality. And that's the key that the British public need to remember. What we're advocating for is not radical. The current situation is radical. We just want the country back. We want England to be England, which is a return to normality.
Lucy, a delight.
Return to normality. That's all it is. That's all we're asking. That's all we're demanding. Just normalness, just normal things that normal countries do. It's not even like a return to normalcy as if all of the world went crazy. This is still normal for every non-white country. It's still perfectly normal. It's still in their constitutions. Like, this is normal still. It's abnormal what's happening in Western Europe. It's abnormal because no civilization could survive this. You can't have, it's not normal to have stage 4 cancer, right? Because you die. So it's like, if you're going to be in this situation, it's for a very brief time and then it's over. So like, that's what's happening with Europe right now. It's not normal to be invaded and swamped by hostile foreigners because you can only exist like that until the job is done and then it's gone forever. So it's like, yeah, it's not normal to be in a state of being murdered. Okay. Let's go to clip 48. Here's a grandma, a little more fire in her belly, who understands, again, the stakes at play here. Let's watch. I'm sorry, this is clip 48.
And I'm here for my children, and I'm here for my grandchildren, and I'm here to keep Ireland for the Irish, and our Celtic race, and our culture, and our traditions, and our Christian Catholic religion. And I do not want Ireland to become an Islam stronghold.
Here, well said. Great stuff.
That might have been illegal. She might have broken the law there. Get ready to die in jail, Grandma, for daring to believe that you have a people and a place that you belong. Monster. That monster there, right? It's crazy. I mean, to disagree with that woman makes you a bad person and a monster, honestly. A genocidal maniac. An anti-white scumbag. But that's what a lot of people have been indoctrinated into being, so it's not exactly a surprise. So look, they thrive on the division. However, the division is real, right? I see so many people saying about, you know, America or whatever else that, you know, oh, the left and right, this is a false divide. No, the left and right divide is very real. It's obviously real. It's just that, what am I seeing here? Is this Europe being rebuilt after being conquered by Muslims? And it's happening everywhere. I can go, you know, clip 47 here. This is a school in Europe. This is a video for a school in, this is Australia. Forget Europe. So it's happening in America, obviously. It's happening in Europe to a very great degree. But white people don't escape anywhere. Don't think that you can go to the far side of the world and escape being replaced in your own country. Australia has it maybe better or worse than anybody else. Let's go to clip 47 now. Points to you if you can find a single white Australian in this video of a school opening up in Australia. Let's watch.
We are launching our brand new school. Super exciting. Many years in the making.
This is the day.
Maybe saw one white guy there.
New school.
It's a really beautiful school. It's one of the lifetime moments where I can explore the school. I'm very excited. Really, really very excited.
If I were a student, it would almost be like the zoo for the first time. I don't know. It's just really exciting to see something that you've been hearing about and something that has been talked up and then to see it in real life. It's just like
literally
fresh
no white
eyes
people.
On
this
education.
Is in Australia.
My favorite new spot.
This is in a European country.
The new staff room.
Probably the basketball court. The concrete slab because it gives us more space to play handball.
My favorite one was the library.
My favorite area is the library.
The library.
This is the library. Miss Elton is the library teacher.
A white woman. Wait, we found one. There's one. The librarian is a white woman. We found one.
That's the library. Thanks for watching.
And my favorite part is also this tree here. You can sit there with your friends and there's lots of space.
Welcome to
a white boy.
There's using this space is really going to allow us.
We found
to
one. Huzzah. We found the single white boy. We can take it down now. Again, it's like and resisting this makes you a Nazi. I'm sorry. Noticing and then not enjoying seeing your race systematically eliminated across the world makes you a German socialist from the 30s. Is that what we're supposed to believe? And now you've got, well, I say now as if this is new. You still have mainstream major publications like The Economist writing stories about how white people having babies is an insidious plot to continue existing. And you still demonize white identity politics as if it's something evil. I mean, is this all making sense to everybody? That we don't need to justify our own existence, that clearly, and anybody with just double-digit IQ can recognize the concerted, unified, global effort to literally kill off white people. What's beneath the surface? They say they want Americans to have more babies. What could that be about? Why? Why could they want that? Don't they believe that we're evil? Look at the Man's World poster in the background from Rogue Nationalists. This is like a shocking image of the most evil thing in the world, according to both the left and the Israeli right. Look at that, delivering a baby in a little Trump hat when he could be aborted. I mean, he should be aborted, obviously. That's the greatest, you know, expression of freedom available. Kill your children. That's the real virtuous thing to do. And in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of the overwhelming outpouring of hate and vitriol against white people and literally destroying not just our lives, but are the condition of our countries, like in a very deliberate and obviously choreographed and orchestrated way. You've got people like Ben Shapiro claiming the mantle of MAGA while simultaneously believing everything they believe and promoting the very ideas that our enemies promote. Let's go to clip number 7 here. This is Ben Shapiro. Apparently, he doesn't believe that white men exist as an identity, and it's something that was created by the left. Okay, what? Let's watch.
This isn't, it's not just a passing thing. I mean, this is a growing thing, and there is a significant number of people in the Gen Z, you know, demographic that are, they have, they're talking about this. They're amplifying a lot of this. It's just bad information that a lot of people have, and they were infuriated. I just looked on social media. I'm sure you saw it. They were infuriated with Eric Trump's answer, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this, and we'll dive into it further.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that we can start with what's driving this in the first place. I think that one of the things that is driving this is the fact that for a decade or more, there was an attempt by the left to basically target Christian white men. And there's no question that this was true, that just in terms of policy, policies were designed in order to disadvantage Christian white men, whether it was going after the Little Sisters of the Poor or the attempt to Me Too anybody who was, you know, masculine in any way, the attempt to say that men could be women, the sort of DEI nature of all of American politics, the BLM movement, which is directed at the idea that there's a white supremacist superstructure. And in saying that over and over and over, what the left actually did is they started to create a feeling in a lot of young white men that as a targeted group, they actually were an identity group of their own. And then now as an identity group of their own, they must rise up and lay low anybody who is not a member of that group. And there are a lot of influencers and a lot of political commentators that we've talked about who are fomenting this because it goes viral online. The algorithms, particularly on X and on TikTok, are very, very fond of this, I think, for a wide variety of reasons, some decent and most not decent. I think there are a lot of manipulations in the algorithm there. But there are a lot of people who are perfectly willing to cater to this and then to sort of promote this idea. And that's how you get to this place. I mean, the fact that this was happening at a TPUSA event and these sorts of questions are the kinds of questions that Charlie Kirk himself was routinely receiving over and over. And it was clearly coming, as Nick Fuentes said, it was clearly coming from Nick Fuentes's side of the aisle. I do not think this is originally a general outgrowth of normie traditional thought. A lot of the kinds of questions that you're hearing here, and the vice president was asked last week whether Judaism was targeting Christians, which is an absurd contention, just historically and contemporaneously. Those questions are coming from a particular place, and the humoring of that particular place is something that Charlie actually did not want to do. Charlie actually forbade the involvement of Nick Fuentes and the Groyper mentality and white supremacy from TPUSA. Obviously, that door has been breached, and I think that's why you're seeing that at TPUSA. And, you know, frankly, you know, I think that the TPUSA could do a better job of working with some of the personalities with whom it is currently working who are promoting this sort of stuff.
So, again, Ben Shapiro, his entire worldview is defined by his identity. His religion and ethnicity are the driving force behind most of what he does, and that's always been the case, and he's never been shy about that. It is completely hypocritical and totally at odds with his espoused belief that identity politics is poison. But you see there, really, he just doesn't want white people thinking of themselves as an identity group, even though we are, even though we're targeted as an identity group to defend ourselves as an identity group. To him is evil. He says, and I wrote down, that because we see ourselves in an identity group, we therefore want to, quote, rise up and lay low anybody that's not in our identity group. How about we just stop being destroyed? Do you understand the mindset that when a white guy stands up and says, hey, white people are disadvantaged here, and by the way, from all groups, including Jews, why is this allowed, and, you know, how do we stand up for ourselves? And in any normal person's mind, what they should think is, yeah, they should stand up for themselves. They're the target of discrimination. They're slated for eradication. Yeah, self-defense. The problem is the people attacking them. That's not Ben Shapiro's mindset. His mindset is, what's wrong with this person? How do we stop this person from asking this question? In other words, how do we allow the eradication of the white race to continue unabated and not have the white people wake up to it before it's too late?
I'm cutting this emergency announcement on the evening of Thursday, November 6, 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, just type InfoWars or Alex Jones into the search engine. You'll read all about the federal courts, the state courts, the receiver that's been appointed to come in and shut us down. He was here today. He said it might be next week. It might be in early December. They haven't decided when to shut us down. But we've set up the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X, Real Alex Jones, Rumble. We have the new studios, new news sites we're going to be announcing and launching. The InfoWar lives on through you and I and the crew and everybody else. But right now, we need funds to keep InfoWars on the air just for the foreseeable future and for the new network, because the bad guys can't get the AlexJonesTour.com because Bigly, established for many, many, many years, dozens and dozens of major clients, they build the best quality shopping carts with the very best products, and they are our sponsor. So when you go to the AlexJonesTour.com, there is a huge sale that is only running until Sunday at midnight. So you got like 3 days, 3.5 days. Any supplement you get, ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. We have it all. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research it for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylene.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. You can buy it once, cancel if you want, but get it first. You have a month to cancel. I know you're going to love it, and then keep it on auto ship. But bottom line, you get 50% off. Also, if you're a VIP, $30 a month, just like Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend instantly in the store. Special deals, special sales, special offers just to you, and massive percentages off on everything. So if you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. But right now, at TheAlexShowStore.com, on top of that, this is what ends Sunday, 25% off on top of all those sales. That makes many of these loss leaders. And then there's all the widest selection of Patriot apparel, T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, you name it. Wearing Patriot gear out in the public is an incredible adventure. It's like being Donald Trump or Alex Jones or Steve Bannon. Go out and do it. Experience it yourself and know your funding's operation. You have kept us on the air despite all the attacks and Arctic frost that's come out. We're all under attack because the bad guys hate us. But despite all those attacks, we're still here. And InfoWars lives on through the Alex Jones Network and through all of you. So take action right now. The sale goes until Sunday evening at midnight, Central Standard Time. Probably the biggest sale in the history of Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com. I have to check the other sales, other big ones. But 50% off on all the supplements and 25% off on top of it. Oh, and it gets more insane. Anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at AlexJonesApp.com. It's free. It's the same shopping cart on your phone or the app on your computer. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bigly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good, because it's loss leader when you use the app, when we have the sales going. But because we have an 80-plus percent reorder rate on things like ultramethylene blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore right now. The sale ends Sunday, thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for being the reason we'll always stay on the air. You are the InfoWar. I'm the InfoWar. We're a family, 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.
This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com to support us, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. It is your last chance right now to be a part of the final run of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's whole body support at InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsStore.com. You can get 40% off either one of these absolutely bombshell products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's, the highest quality, most jam-packed with nutrient supplements on the market, whether it's fish oil or a turmeric supplement. You really cannot beat Ultimate Fish Oil or Bodies from InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off both of these products. Buy one to take and one to put in a safe and sell in 50 years as a collectible. would be my advice. InfoWarsStore.com. Go there today and get Bodies or Ultimate Fish Oil. Bodies is a turmeric supplement. Absolutely incredible. It fights inflammation. It's got a number of really positive effects. It's another one of these products that you don't really know what it's going to do until you try it. And just from personal experience, not a doctor, not making medical claims, but it's the type of thing where you start taking turmeric on, you know, regularly. And for me, I found my daily quotidian back aches didn't quite affect me like they used to, sitting in a computer chair all day, looking at horrible things, horrible reality. Can do a number to your back, but Bodies can help mitigate some of that. Now, I want to talk about what's going on with Arctic Frost and this pipe bomber investigation. I feel a little bit the same with this that I do with the, you know, indictments for some of these people or some of the revelations they come out exposed. You know, this new revelation about exactly how Operation Crossfire Hurricane was carried out. And it's like, we know. Like, we've got the name of this woman now. It seems pretty legit. It seems pretty well confirmed. There's been no strident, you know, denouncements from the powers that be. They haven't confirmed it yet, but they're not exactly vociferously denying it anyway, which is good. You know, it's nice to have the lady's name, but did we not know that this was a plant from the powers that be? I mean, was it not obvious from the very beginning? And it's funny, I was actually going back and looking at some of the old coverage from back in 2021, the early days of 2021. Specifically American Journal, I was going through some of the transcripts, and like we hardly talked about the pipe bomber because it just wasn't the issue of concern. It was the big riot, you know, with all the people being arrested. But it was obvious from the beginning that it was a plant, specifically because, I mean, there's so many different aspects to it that were absurd. The fact that they never had any information about this person, despite the fact the person is seen using a cell phone, despite the fact that they walk around for like 40 something minutes. I mean, they found somebody from January 6th because of a photo of the man's earlobe. They were able to identify them, but they can't identify this person with all of the geofencing, with all of the, you know, electronic surveillance. They just had nothing on this person. No idea. And the fact that I don't know if people remember this, the Capitol was evacuated because the bomb was found. That's what started the whole thing. So they got everybody out because of this fake discovery of this pipe bomb, which Kamala Harris was like right there. The whole thing was absurd from the beginning. So having a name is like, okay, it's like a piece of the puzzle. But it, to me, it doesn't actually matter that much. It's just confirmation of what we know anyway, which was there's no way that this was a real thing. There's no way that this was a real domestic terrorist trying to plant a bomb or pretending to plant a bomb. It just was obvious from the beginning that this was a key component of the false flag situation that developed on January 6th. So I have a hard time like being like, oh, we got her. I mean, it's good. It's good that we know who she is now. But, like, we've known this forever. We know it was Nancy Pelosi. We know how it was all coordinated. We know this. We know. So we'll get into it. I'll talk about it. But I'll get to that in just a second. Because, again, I think there's something almost more important to understand here, which is the psychology that allows all of this absurdity to continue relentlessly. Why do we have a country that is so just filled with these people, taking advantage of everything that they can? Why is our system so vulnerable to exploitation? And no small part of it is the fact that people are dumb. People are dumb, and even those leading the charge, the intellectual guiding lights of the left, kind of dumb. Very mean. Kind of dumb, extremely vicious and mean and heartless and cruel, okay? Cheryl Hines figured this out. This is the wife of RFK Jr. She went on Bill Maher and talked about, she's a Democrat. She's a super liberal lady. She's like very, very Democratic. But when she came to Washington, she found the Democrats were all complete dicks. Let's go to clip 25 here.
The Republicans have been very kind to me from the beginning. Even from the beginning when Bobby was running as a Democrat, they weren't mean.
No.
And they never have been.
No.
And I can't say that for the Democrats.
I agree.
And it's
sad because it's not the Democrats we grew up with.
Right. Yeah.
That's the difference that people don't, I think, see. They're like, why did you turn on the Democrats? Well, first of all, I didn't. Like I said, we voted for the same person. But I'm not going to pretend I don't notice.
Yeah.
How different they are.
Yeah.
How mean they've become.
Very mean. And
Bill, you idiot. They're not the same Democrats that you grew up with. Bill, they are literally the same Democrats. They're literally the same Democrats. Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. There's a picture of JFK staring at Nancy Pelosi's tits when she was a congresswoman. What do you mean they're not the same? They are literally the same people. That Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, like she died, but, you know, the powerful Democrat, they've all been in office since before I was born. So unless Bill Maher is 90 years old, somehow staying spry and fit in his old age, yeah, no, they're exactly the same Democrats as the ones when you were growing up. Literally exactly the same ones. What are you talking about? And now you realize this, why are you voting for them? He's like, yeah, I'd still vote for who you vote for. I just recognize they're evil. Great, Bill. Well done. Why is this the case? Why is this the case? And why is the exact opposite what everybody believes? I remember in high school having like parents of friends be like, your parents were so nice. I thought they were conservative. And it's like, we're the nice ones, you idiot. ma'am, Miss Wingate, I mean. Yeah, we're the nice ones. The left is vicious. They're hateful. They're maniacs. I didn't even pull it in, but the video is going viral today of Nancy Pelosi. It was in October of this year being asked something, and she does the same, right? Hi, everybody. I'm so nice. People are like, did you rig January 6th? She's like, you listen here. You don't ever ask that question again. Yeah, just underneath the surface. Like, it's not, you don't even have to look for it. Say scratch beneath the surface, but halftime it's bubbling up anyway. There's this seething viciousness of the Democratic side that does not exist on the right, which is almost funny that the right wing is constantly being called Nazis, and this, you know, idea develops that right wingers are, you know, brutal and hardcore and mean. And it's like, it could not be farther from the truth, but that's the perception promoted by the likes of Bill Maher. The pathetic pervert. Now let's talk about Bill Burr, because this is very funny to me. And I got to give a shout out to a podcast called Who Are These Podcasts? Because I found these clips. They did a show on Bill Burr, but they were talking more about him as a comedian and comedy and the podcast world. But I was very intrigued by the political aspects of the clips that they showed. So shout out to Who Are These Podcasts. And I sort of stole their content, but I've got different points to make. So I hope they can forgive me. But if you don't know, Bill Burr is embroiled right now in a scandal. Bill Burr, famous comedian, does a podcast called the Monday Morning Podcast that is boring. You can do it like him. It's boring, where he moves back from it's just very cliche, played out, pathetic, bad. It's a bad podcast, but that's beside the point. He's embroiled in a scandal because he took a lot of money to go perform comedy for the religious extremist, tyrannical, anti-feminist in Saudi Arabia. He did the Riyadh Comedy Festival, and that flies in the face of everything he professes to believe. And his fans are not happy about this. They're very angry at the hypocrisy on display and the fact that he tries to justify his participation in a comedy show held by a royal family whose family has been in charge and, you know, crushes their civilians with brutality. Like, it's everything he pretends to be against, but he goes and he takes her money and he performs comedy, and then he acts like this is in line with his virtues, acts like what he was doing was actually, you know, totally good and normal, and that if you're against it, you're just crazy. But everybody sees the hypocrisy on display when he rails against American billionaires but is performing comedy for trillionaires. Bill Burr slams Riyadh Comedy Festival backlash as BS and roast critics. I don't give an F what these phony effing people are saying. Well, okay. But you obviously do. Yeah, Bill Burr calls critics of Riyadh Comedy Festival sanctimonious and phony, saying, I vibed with them. They were so cool. They're so friendly. He's like, how can Riyadh be bad? It has a KFC, you guys. It's got a Dave and Buster's. How could it be bad that I'm performing there? Little inconsistent, but the point I want to make, yeah, it's over 700,000 people are living in conditions of modern slavery on any given day in 2021. And these are the people that he is helping to, you know, launder their public perception. Because how can they be bad? There's a big comedy festival. Bill Burr was there. He's an edgy comic. I mean, they must be lightening up a little bit. Maybe we should, you know, give them another chance. Maybe they're not a, you know, despotic backwater of religious intolerance. Maybe they're cool because they have KFC now. So he's helping to launder and whitewash their rightly, you know, despised reputation. And he's getting backlash for this. So let's go to clip 21 first, because this, I think, sort of sets the table for his retardation. Clip 21. Here's Bill Burr's high-level, you know, political analysis. Let's watch.
Okay, but like every other state, we are in difficult economic times. And it has nothing to do with blue or red ties as much as it has to do with industry leaving this country because they didn't want to pay the working man a working wage. Okay? That's why everybody's driving Uber and taking pictures of their food because there's no factories left to work in.
Good one. You know, people always take pictures of their food these days. That's a new thing. That's a new phenomenon. 20 years ago, it was a new phenomenon. Bill, you absolute moron. The second Bill I'm calling an idiot today. They both deserve it. What do you mean it has nothing to do with red versus blue ties? So what he's saying there is it doesn't have to do with politics. It's because the factories left. Because I guess greed is a new thing. I mean, he's saying we're not doing well now, which would imply that we were doing well at some point. So I guess like greed didn't exist for a while, and but then it was created by a bunch of billionaires. They got together and decided, wait, what if we're greedy? What if we did things for greed? And I'm like, greed? I've never heard of that. And he's like, it's this new thing I came up with where we want to get a lot of money. Yeah, that's brand new. That never existed before. Back when America had factories, the factory owners, they hadn't figured out greed yet, obviously. Why are factories not in America, Bill? Where'd they go? Did they just disappear? Are there factories anywhere in the world? There are? Oh, they used to be in America, now they're not. Well, how did that happen? Did it have anything to do with the policies of the government, perhaps? Did it have anything at all to do with the fact that they were incentivized by our tax policy, by our, you know, tariff agreements to outsource jobs? Could it have anything to do with NAFTA? No, it has nothing to do with red versus blue. It's just factories are just getting up and leaving on their own. Doesn't matter who you vote for. The obvious thing to understand, if you just thought about it for 5 minutes, is corporations are always going to do what makes them the most money. It's human nature. You have to understand that and then make laws to counteract it. The laws to counteract it should say, if you want to sell things in America, you have to build them in America. If you want to build them overseas, then we're going to tariff the crap out of them. That way, you keep factories here. Like, Bill Burr is like the most anti-Trump person ever, but he's never even thought about the policies or the things he laments. I assume he's not happy that people are driving Uber and taking pictures of their food instead of working in a factory. It sounds like he likes the factories. Why'd the factories leave, Bill? The factories that are here, who's running them? Who's employed in them? Oh, it's a bunch of illegal foreigners brought over by the tent program, exploiting the open borders so they can undercut wages, fire the Americans, and hire a slave class. Like, what do you not understand about how all of the liberal policies are designed to exclusively benefit the billionaire class that he seems to hate so much? He talks about billionaires all the time. I'm sure he's worth tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. The man literally flies a helicopter around for fun, but he's the good guy. It's the other people that are slightly richer than him. They're the real evil ones that have to be stopped. Yeah, people are like, how can the Death Star be bad? It has a KFC. Don't you know the Death Star is a KFC? It's a good thing. Okay, so he goes on, clip number 22 here. This is him talking about, you know, the prospects of civil war. He's infuriated at the division that's being caused by, the billionaires. And you'll never guess which billionaire in particular he happens to hate above all others. It's not Jeff Bezos, the guy who has systematically eliminated small businesses in this country, who has worked tirelessly to automate, you know, employment out of existence under Amazon, who just fired 30,000 or whatever, you know, high-level positions to automate them through AI. And he doesn't hate Jeff Bezos. He doesn't hate Bill Gates, the guy trying to coerce people and force people into killing their cows by force-feeding them poison called Bovaer to shut down methane production. He's got no problem with Bill Gates. He's got no problem with George Soros, who pays for prosecutors to let people out of prison to continue to victimize the American people. He's got no problem with them. It's not Larry Fink, who as head of BlackRock has systematically eliminated American jobs on purpose, by design. They brag about it, replacing Americans with less qualified foreigners because of ESG scores. See, he doesn't have any problem with them. You know what he really doesn't have a problem with? The mass murdering weirdos in skirts called the Saudi royal family. He's happy to work with them. He vibed with them very well. This man is a hypocrite beyond belief, and I'll bring this all back together. I'll tell you exactly why I'm covering this here in a second, beyond just mocking Bill Burr for being an out-of-touch lefty idiot whose political position is completely at odds with what he professes to believe. Let's go to clip 22 here, where he's very upset and he's mad that everybody wants to kill each other. Let's watch.
Like, I don't understand what the fuck is going on out there, but like, no, somebody in both parties needs to stand up and be like, guys, we have to stop this or this is going to be a civil war. Whoa. And this is only going to be good for billionaires. All right. Everybody else is going to fucking stop. We're going to kill each other in the fucking streets. So some hair plug nerd can have more rockets to shoot to Mars. Or we could all just chill out and be like, hey, man, you know, there's all different ways you can live your life.
Wow. Wow. You know, if I was in middle school, that would have been profound. You know that? Literally a middle school take. Guys, what if just like somebody stood up and was like, chill. Like what we really need is somebody from one of the parties to get up and be like, guys, chill. Okay. Where is that person saying chill? And of course, the person he hates the most, person he says is going to benefit from this, is Elon Musk. Talks about his hair plugs, shooting rockets to Mars. It's big bad Elon Musk, whose factories are in America, who runs SpaceX, which is a massive job, you know, creator in America, who's invested just billions of dollars creating jobs in America, who's like the one billionaire that isn't the one tearing down this country, causing division, weaponizing, you know, hatred from the Democrats. These people are retarded. Honestly, there's no other word for it. Bill Burr, you are a retard, sir. You know absolutely nothing. And you don't even know that you know nothing, which is really the sickest part. But this is where this all comes in together, because let's go to clip 20 here. Bill Burr is getting a lot of hate, as we mentioned, for his blatant hypocrisy in loving the Riyadh royal family while hating Elon Musk, because he hates billionaires, but not trillionaires, I guess. And he's really mad Americans don't have jobs, but he also hates the people that are making jobs here. I mean, just the whole thing is inconsistent, incoherent even. And he thinks that the reason this is happening is people are being tricked into hating him. Now, this is the thread of continuity I want to draw between a Bill Burr and a Ben Shapiro, okay? Because there's something that's happening here. There's some psychological imperative being invoked where these narcissists or collective narcissists, as in an ethnicity or a group, are incapable of recognizing their own misdeeds. Physically, mentally, they're incapable of taking blame for what they've done and the way people feel about them. Okay, let's go to clip 20 here. This is Bill Burr saying the reason everybody's mad at him for being a retarded hypocrite is really because big bad guys like Elon Musk are making them hate him. He's the victim in all of this. Let's watch.
You know, like this, I'm telling you, dude, the fucking internet is evil.
Mm-hmm.
It is turning everybody against each other. You're even seeing it in stand-up comedy now. Comedians go after other comedians on podcasts.
Wow, amazing. Let's go to clip 23 here.
We're all Americans. Let's chill out. Let's chill out. Let's stop having these wind us up. You know, all these nerds that own these social media networks, they're literally bullying the entire population now. They're flicking the back of your ear. Every time you go on a social media platform, you're letting a nerd, bunch of nerds, flick the back of your ear and ruin your morning, ruin your cup of coffee with some phony that a bot just sent you.
It's a bot. Maybe they're paid by Qatar, Bill. Have you tried that one? Maybe they're all Qatari influencers. Have you tried? Because it couldn't be anything. Couldn't have anything to do with your just general unpleasantness. It definitely doesn't have anything to do with your, you know, faux superiority as you talk down to everybody while also not understanding anything or having any good ideas about anything ever. It couldn't possibly be the fact that you rail against billionaires endlessly and then give cover to some of the worst billionaires, the oil magnate, tyrannical despots in Saudi Arabia. And then you defend that and, you know, fight people instead of just going, hey, I wanted to make money, so I took the money. Yeah, actually, literal trillionaires. Couldn't have anything to do with all of the stuff you did and all the people you've pissed off and all the statements you've made. It's got to be bots. They're all bots. If someone says something against you, it's like beyond Bill's realm, like vision of reality that somebody just has a genuine, heartfelt outrage at him. It couldn't possibly be it because he's perfect. He's never done anything wrong. He's the most brilliant person in the world. You're all idiots. So if you don't like him, it's because you're being tricked by Elon Musk into not liking him. And if you don't want to support Israel, it's not that they've been on a 2-year genocidal program of mass murder and lying about it and trying to censor us from talking about it. It must be because Qatar is paying you. Do you see what I mean? The consistency here, the complete lack of willingness to understand that you are the bad one in this situation.
There is a white supremacy problem, and it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this, watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am. I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carville and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do. But I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the tree of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that. But not according to the left. They are just whole hog, let's get it on. And so, you know my view, I think it's your view, not out starting fights, not trying to get in trouble.
But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you, and this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now. Right before Trump got reelected, Israel, Turkey, and NATO overthrew Syria after 16 years of trying. And they put al-Sharaa, the global leader of al-Qaeda, in charge of the country, unelected. I understand Trump inherited this. But now we have him showing up at the White House. We showed the video with China Islamic crowds cheering. We have him brought in. We have all these Republican lawmakers cheering the new free Syria. Back when I would expose the West funding al-Qaeda, supporting it before 9/11, during 9/11, after 9/11, it was all public information that people say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. But now it's hidden in plain view. So I understand Trump inherited all this, but at the same time, these giant welcome parties, all the rest of it is just too much to handle. Well, we got our balls grubbed at the TSA. Well, we're all treated like terrorists because of 9/11, and we know the Islamic pilots were trained at U.S. military bases, shadowed by Israeli intelligence. We know they were cutouts. We know the jets were remote control. We already know all that. But the point is, the official story is we were attacked by these Saudi Arabian pilots that were in al-Qaeda. And now, 25 years later, we've got the leader of al-Qaeda that's taking over Syria, killing the Christians and Muslim minorities. And we got to celebrate that he's this great freedom fighter. And, oh, the free Syria when he's unelected and doing all these genocides and ethnic cleansings. It's just too much. But, again, I know the facts. I know the history. So it's weird to be politically, culturally informed and try to communicate with an illiterate population. I know a lot of Americans are pissed off about this. And I don't want to hear from Democrats. Oh, look, Trump with al-Qaeda leader. It was Obama that really ran the last administration, and they orchestrated all this. And the Arab Spring and all of it. So, though, this is on you. But I'm still going to criticize Trump. But it's 90% on you. But I know you can't be saved. You can't be helped. You're so evil with your Mondami and all of it. So I don't spend time on you and your alliance, your red-green alliance. I'm talking about Trump. And I predict this is going to bite us in the ass. I predict there'll be regime change in the next few years, and this is all going to blow up in our face. But this is truly disgusting. Real headline. Trump meets with the global head of al-Qaeda, now the dictator of Syria. Republicans hail him as the leader of free Syria as he conducts mass genocide against Christians. And Netanyahu's involved. It's like founding Hamas. They create these people. They turn them loose. And they use them to take our rights so they can set up checkpoints at the damn airports. It's total horse crap. Absolute BS.
So there's al-Sharaa arriving at the White House, being welcomed by mobs of supporters. Again, the worldwide leader of ISIS, a man who had a $10 million bounty on his head this time last year from the American government, and he's being welcomed like a conquering king to Washington, D.C. to shake hands with Trump. Now, I think there's an important lesson to be learned here. Now, obviously, al-Sharaa is being given all of this access, whether it's the first Syrian leader to visit the White House or the first Syrian leader in 60 years to address the UN. So he's being given the appearance of legitimacy by these globalist organizations, including the American government being one of them. Something that was withheld from Bashar al-Assad, despite the fact that Bashar al-Assad was not committing pogroms against the minority groups in his country in the way that is happening in Syria to this day. And they've also opened up, you know, wealth funds. They've opened up trade. The EU has ended sanctions against Syria. So now Syria will do better, not because he's a better leader, but because the people around him who didn't like Bashar al-Assad standing up against them are going to make it as easy as they can for him. They're going to help him in every way that they can. So it's going to look like his success. What do you think they're going to do with Mamdani? How do you think Mamdani's going to do? You know, people think New York City is going to fail. No, no, no. There's too much invested in the appearance of success. So all the billionaires who want socialism in this country are going to do everything they can to prop up Mamdani, just like the world elite are propping up al-Shara right now. It's all fraudulent, but they'll make it look like he's a success by cheating.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. If you want to call, dial 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. We'll take your calls throughout this hour. The crew was just bringing this up, and it was actually a tweet I made a few days ago. But I think it's true, and this is just what I was talking about at the end of that last segment. I said, New York is going to be fine with Mamdani as the mayor because socialist billionaires will pour infinite money into the programs to make them appear solvent. They understand that what's happening in New York right now is being seen as a test case throughout the rest of the country. And if New York starts to collapse, socialism will be rejected by the rest of America. They'll look at New York, and if it's just totally insolvent and companies leaving and they can't, you know, things breaking down, I mean, they already are to a certain extent. If that accelerates, people are going to look at that and go, well, they tried electing a socialist, and look at what turned out for them. So the people that want socialism to continue, the likes of Alexander Soros, standing next to Mamdani, you know, funding him to the tune of tens or if not hundreds of millions of dollars, they have infinite money, right? They control the money printing. So, like, they'll pour infinite money to make it appear as though the socialist programs are successful and solvent and arousing success because they understand that it's a test case. So I think the same thing's happening with al-Shara in Syria that's happening with Mamdani, where they want it to be perceived as a success, and so they will pull the strings necessary to make it a success, which is good news for, you know, New Yorkers, bad news for people that hate socialism. But it's just a guess. Just a guess. Now, this story just got delivered to me, and, you know, I was thinking at first that I must be missing something here, but it appears as though this is actually what's going on. Like, it's an InfoWars headline, but I was like, all right, what's really happening? No, this is what's really happening. Hood County Sheriff arrests man for social media posts. The Hood County Sheriff's Office in Texas arrested Colton Krottinger, a Navy veteran and local Granbury activist, for a social media post. According to a criminal complaint, Krottinger had posted on social media under the guise of someone else. Residents have suggested that the October 2nd post, showing another local activist appearing to support then Granbury School candidate Monica Brown, is the one in question. Hood County Constable John Shirley said He thought the Post was a joke and that the individual the Post impersonated would have never supported Brown because she's very openly, loudly, and publicly hates her. This is a little confusing, but basically this guy took a Photoshop picture of somebody supporting this school board candidate, Monica Brown, and put another person's face on that picture to make a Photoshop so it looked like a person was supporting somebody that they weren't supporting. It was a meme. It was a joke, I guess. I don't really get it because I don't know the internal, you know, drama of Granbury local politics, but apparently this was a joke that people involved in that would understand. He's now been arrested. So this is the shot. Screenshot of Tina's post, not a fake Tina account, Photoshopped portion. Colton was charged with creating a fake Tina account. He never created a fake Tina account. It's that simple. Tell Sheriff Deeds and the DA to end this witch hunt and go after real criminals, not stupid Photoshopped memes. The charge. So he was charged with online impersonation, name slash persona create page. So, okay, I think I'm understanding it. So they're claiming that he created a fake account claiming to be Tina Brown, but really he just made a fake post that made it look like Tina Brown posted a Monica Brown poster. So he's literally been arrested for a meme. Krautinger was charged on November 5th with online impersonation in the third degree. His lawyer, Rob Christian, said he'd been arrested for posting a meme. In his 25 years as district attorney and criminal defense attorney, Christian told the Daily Express he'd never seen anyone get arrested for engaging in political speech. Nate Criswell, former Hood County GOP chair, believes the arrest is politically motivated. The charge is based on a satirical post where he humorously photoshopped her political rival's image, making it appear as though she supported Monica Brown for school board, he wrote in a petition. Importantly, no actual account was created, making the charge baseless and unfair. Additionally, other elements of the statute were not met. People local say this reeks of authoritarianism. The condition of Krautinger's $10,000 bond say that he cannot access social media, nor can he have any contact with other activists. Criswell said social media is where Colton makes his livelihood and called the social media ban egregious. So the guy makes a meme. They arrest him for impersonation and then say, as a condition of your bail, you can't post anything online or contact any of the people in your line of business. It just goes on and on, folks. Krautinger is active in multiple facets of the community. He interviewed candidates before the 2020 election in November and maintains the Hood County Breaking News page on Facebook. In 2025, the Texas Senate honored the Veterans Mental Health Center he runs in Granbury called Anxiety Solutions of America. Criswell said Krautinger's arrest is part of a pattern in the local area. Quote, every year the list of conservatives arrested on bogus charges grows longer, he said. Again, it's like, it's just like, how did we get here? How do we get to this point? Some Navy veteran who's like a pillar of the community posts a meme and gets arrested for impersonation and given a $10,000 bond that prevents his ability to post online, which is where he makes money. It's like, we have so many problems that like we should have never even had to, we never even have to solve this. It's like today they're like, I don't even know if I have that story, but it's like the Olympic, the Olympic Society, the Olympic Foundation has done a study and has determined that men have a physical advantage over women, and in the next Olympics, men will not be allowed to participate in women's sports. Okay, good. Great, fine. What? How did we ever – what are we talking about? How did it get to this point? How were any of these things allowed to persist? How did they ever start in the first place? And what do we need to do to fix this? Honestly, because it's like, I don't know, man. There's no, you know, what? So some person in this local community with some amount of authority just decided they didn't like this guy and sent the police to arrest him, sent the sheriff to haul him out of his house and arrest him, and then ban him from social media. And it's like none of that is illegal. Not a single part of that is legal. So who's going to pay the price for it? So like if this guy, this Krodinger person ends up, you know, fighting this and beating it, you know, says he's not guilty, jury decides on his behalf, and he gets out, he still will have suffered massively from this. So are they just allowed to do that? They can just try to frame you for a crime you didn't commit, knowing you'll get off, but knowing that it'll take a lot of money, ruin your reputation. They can set the bail conditions so you can't even make money in the meantime. And hey, maybe, you know, the jury just decides that they're going to participate in your little political charade and throw him in jail anyway. Like, if he gets off from this, if he's not sent to jail, what is the punishment for the person that tried to send him? I really don't know what we do at this point. It looks like we have a caller that is in sort of a similar situation. Corn Pop, one of our regular callers at PWA 1776 on X, activist in the Maine area. Corn Pop, you were also arrested for your speech, I understand.
Yeah, actually at the recent No Kings protest up here in Maine. So pretty much what happened was is the crazy Looney Tunes tried to take over a bridge. So I found a spot that they hadn't taken over yet and started setting up. And when I go to protests and stuff like this, I carry what they call is a burner launcher. It's it looks like a gun, yes, but it shoots rubber bullets because I'm going to a let's be real, I'm going to a protest, a bunch of snowflakes, you know. So someone screams out, he's got a gun. Next thing you know, APD shows up and they throw me in handcuffs, tell me I'm arrested, tell me I need to get off the bridge. I'm like, I'm not leaving. I did nothing wrong. And he's like, well, then you're under arrest. And I'm like, all right, well, if you're threatening me with arrest, I'll leave. And he goes, no, you're under arrest. Throws me in the back of the cop car, brings me all the way to the Augusta Police Department. At this point, I'm asking the cop. I'm like, listen, what am I arrested for? What am I arrested for? Got no answer. They bring me all the way to the police station. And, you know, when I get to the police station, the cop that brought me, he's like, you know, I have no idea what's going on. Let me figure it out. He's calling all the other officers. What are we charging this guy with? He gets in touch. That Sergeant Nutter right there with the video that you're showing, that was the arresting officer, only to walk into the police department to take the handcuffs off me to tell me I'm free to go. And, yes, I went right back to the bridge. And went right back to the protest.
Well, good for you. So, I mean, you weren't like brandishing the gun or anything. How did they know you had the gun? I mean, it's not a gun, but the projectile launcher. I mean, how did they know you had it?
Because it was, I mean, let's get this out there. I'm in Maine. We're in a constitutional carry state. So even if this was a real gun, you don't need a permit to conceal carry here in the state of Maine. I had it tucked behind my back, underneath my American flag jacket.
And it's like a pepper ball launcher. It's like maybe equivalent of like pepper spray or something?
No, so it's pretty much what we got shot with on January 6th. It shoots rubber bullets that when it hits you, the rubber bullets kind of bust in it, pepper spray and tear gas and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like a paintball gun almost.
Yeah, it's CO2 powered.
Compressed
you
air.
Don't need a permit. Yeah, you don't need a permit to carry it. It's legal in all 50 states.
And you're carrying it for self-defense because you know these protests can get violent with the leftists attacking you. And look, I've been to protests where, you know, Antifa's walking around with assault rifles, you know, slung around, like pointing them at people. So, you know, the idea that you'd be arrested even for carrying a weapon, you're allowed to carry a weapon, and you don't give up that right just because you're protesting or, you know, waving a political sign. That's absurd. So again, so it's just like this soft suppression. You weren't charged. You weren't convicted. You're free to go. They just made it that much more difficult for you. Just you're subjected to rules they're not subjected to. You're going to be hauled off. You're going to have to, you know, spend time. You're going to have to be abused and, you know, get your wrist placed in handcuffs, and they don't have to. And it's just this soft suppression of conservatives constantly. Anywhere we go, anything we try to do, we have to abide by rules that don't even exist, and the left gets to do whatever the hell they want whenever the hell they want. It's enough to piss you off, Corn Pop.
Dude, so there's four videos that I released, and so there's the video of this, of what you're showing now, of them arresting me. Then there's the video of me in the back of the cop car where I'm grilling the officer about, like, what's going on, also letting him know that, hey, by the way, I got the national spotlight right now on the school board because I just had people strip at this. Like, you're like, dude, you don't think this is going to make national attention? Like, come on. And then, like, we get to the police station, and then there's a third video of me sitting in the waiting room waiting on Sergeant Nutter to show up. And then there's the fourth video where they didn't even know where any of my personal belongings was, because you'll see they rip off my watch, they rip off my body camera, they take my phone off. I even asked the officer when he's throwing me in the back of the car if I can at least grab my phone so I can call. No. Left all my stuff on the bridge and didn't even know where it was at for like a good 15 minutes. So, I mean, there's a fourth video where I'm like flipping out on it because I'm like, dude, where's my stuff?
And you weren't harassing anybody, you weren't threatening anybody, you weren't, and I'm just, you know, just play devil's advocate, just to, you know, clarify fully. You were literally arrested for nothing, for being at a protest where a bunch of other people were. You went there with a self-defense weapon that is non-lethal, that shoots essentially a paintball gun. You weren't waving it. It was tucked in the back of your pants. Somebody saw it, said he has a gun, instead of going over and checking, going, oh, this isn't a gun, this is just a little paintball thing. I mean, even, you know, I wouldn't even mind that much if they're like, hey, dude, go put that in your car, right? And it's like, you know, you'd probably go, okay, all right, fine, I'll go put this in my car. If it's freaking people out, I don't want to cause trouble, right? I mean, there are so many ways to handle this, but they choose to arrest you, put you in handcuffs. Absolutely no reason to do this. You have not broken any laws. You are not causing a disturbance. You are not resisting or, you know, fighting them in any way. I just want to clarify, there's nothing we're missing here that would make this arrest valid whatsoever.
So, Harrison, I will put it this way. I was on that bridge for enough time. So, as you see, I got there. I'm setting up my stuff. There was one other person that was supposed to join me. She stopped her car. We unloaded the stuff out of her car. She was driving to the end of the bridge to the CVS to park her car so she could park there. She didn't have enough time to park her car at the CVS at the end of the bridge and walk back to the bridge before I was already in the car and gone.
Wow.
I was literally setting my stuff up, and they seen the handle hanging out the back of my back and yelled out, he's got a gun. And at that point, I even yelled out, it's non-lethal. And like you've seen the cop ripping off my body camera, he's like, if you play the audio, he's like, oh, I'm going to get a warrant for this. I'm like, dude, you don't need a warrant. That's why I'll wear the body camera. I'll give it to you. And the crazy part, too, Harrison, about this is that cop is the same cop that is at every school board meeting here in Augusta. They know me by first and last name. They know that I am not violent. They know that anytime I've been involved with them, it's always been respectful. And I even asked him, that's the thing too, in the third and the fourth video, I asked him several times for an apology for embarrassing me the way that he did on that bridge, because the left got exactly what they wanted. They got pictures, they got videos of me being thrown in the back of a damn cop car, and he couldn't even apologize to me. And his excuse was, we wanted you off that bridge before the mob turned on you. Hey, let's worry about the people that's going to get violent. Let's get you off the bridge before they get violent.
They might get violent, so you're under arrest.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he left a single mom on the bridge with my stuff. The woman that was supposed to park her car and walk there, by the time she got there, all my stuff was there. That's why they couldn't find my phone, because they left it with her. They thought they grabbed it. Meanwhile, they left her on the bridge, and she asked for a ride off the bridge so that, you know, she wouldn't get the mob turned on her. And officers told her no. She had to walk to the end of the bridge with all my stuff just for them to walk up and take the handcuffs off.
Dude. And of course, I mean, the most absurd thing is you can literally have a gun. It's not actually legal. So even if you had a gun, them going, he's got a gun, the response of the cop should have been, okay, I do too. Like, it doesn't matter. You're allowed to have a gun. How many protests have we seen with the left fully armed and armored? Like, you're allowed to do that. It's America. You're allowed to own a gun even if you're protesting. So it's like, you weren't carrying a gun, but even if you were, it's not an excuse to remove you from the protest. What, that is absurd.
And that's exactly why I went right back. And they were all like, why ain't you in jail? I'm like, because I did nothing wrong. And Trump is still your daddy, baby.
Wow. I mean, what are you planning to do now? I mean, just keep protesting? Or, I mean, you going to sue? I mean, I don't know, but it sounds like you might have a case for, you know, some sort of wrongful arrest, discrimination. I mean, you're right. These videos are being spread around now. It's going to do reputation damage to you. I mean, that's not good, and they had no reason to do it. I mean, are you going to seek any legal recourse or just put it behind you and move on?
Well, let's just say this. A lawyer has already been hired, and this lawyer is and has been on InfoWars. So there is a lawsuit that is coming for the Augusta PD. And I've also was on Beetle or Fry and talked with them about it and all that. But, yeah, no, there's a lawsuit coming. And the crazy thing is you know what, is we're the people that support these guys.
Right.
I've always been a back to blue guy. And now, like, when I had to file the complaint, I was like, I've never had to file a complaint, officer. I don't know what to do.
Right.
And that's the thing, is they pander to the freaking left, the same people that want to defund them, the same people that spit in their face, the same people that are, you know, look what they're doing to ICE, the ICE agents and all that. Right. And these are the people they want to protect.
God, it really is insane. I mean, it's another one of these things where it's just like, what is going on? Like, what is going on? It would almost make more sense to me, like, you know, police abusing people, you don't want to see it, you know, anywhere. But like, okay, if the police were abusing the anti-police people, you'd at least go, well, you know, what do you expect? Like, you've made yourself their enemy. So like, yeah, they're going to, you know, mistreat you a little bit. But it's like the people that hate the cops, people that attack the cops, we'll show the video on the other side. We're about to go to a commercial break, but the people who are literally like ramming cop, you know, ICE cars and shooting at ICE officers, and the police will throw you in jail for even standing up to them or trying to like go to one of their protests. Again, I really don't know how to wrap my mind around how insane and inverted absolutely everything is right now. Corn Pop, can you talk me down from this ledge? Like, what is going on in this country? Do you have any answers for me, Corn Pop?
I honestly don't. I mean, my only answer is people wake up. It's time to stop being keyboard warriors. It's time to get your head in the game. It's time for you guys to start stepping up. It can't just be a few of us anymore. You know, everybody talks a big game on X and Facebook and all that. It's time for parents to step up. It's time for men to be men. It's time for patriots to be patriots. It's time we take this country back. Trump's not going to do it by himself. We the people need to do it.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Powerful as always. How can people follow you, Corn Pop?
You can follow me on X, PWA1776. You can follow me on Facebook. Unfortunately, my last name has to be spelt a little different because I'm banned from Facebook. So it's BLANCHRD. You can follow me on True Too, Corn Pop. You can follow me on TikTok, Corn Pop 1776.
Well, man, I think I may have said it last time we talked, but I hope you don't stop until you're mayor of your town. I want to see you in a position of power because obviously the people you got running things now aren't up to snuff is the nicest way I can put it. Corn Pop, thank you so much for calling in and telling us this story. I must have missed you tagging me on that, but I'll retweet that post now that I know it's out there. So thank you for sending that to us. Thank you for calling in, and good luck with your lawsuit. Keep us abreast of the situation, because clearly this has become a hotbed of tyranny in this little town in Maine. Such a beautiful place, but just lousy with leftists, even in the police department. Thank you for the call, Corn Pop. We'll be back on the other side with more of your calls for the final segment. I do want to remind you right now, you can get 40% off both the Ultimate Fish Oil and the Body's Turmeric Supplement on InfoWarsStore.com. That's InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off. Limited time, final run of these
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world. And they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them. Because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed, so there's no example of anybody else and no hope worldwide. Nothing but darkness and evil rulers that can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction. When despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy. When it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption, the Democratic Party, and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80%+ of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%. Not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill. Not be able to say 2+2=4. Not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else, the poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate. Deliberate. Premeditated. 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 Premeditated.
Talk about it. I wasn't even going to bring this up, but there's been a development. So I had a tweet go like mega viral over the weekend, kind of randomly, and it's about Dave Portnoy. Now, Dave Portnoy is a scumbag of the highest order. And they posted a video. It was posted by a account called Likely Tarnished. And it was a video of Dave Portnoy having pennies thrown at him by somebody in the street who apparently said, F the Jews. And they posted that video and said, Twitter, identify this man. So I, of course, responded, that's Dave Portnoy. He's a piece of crap. Use slightly stronger language, but it's a very funny joke. Obviously, they're trying to identify this guy who walked by and yelled something. But I wanted to point out that Dave Portnoy is, in fact, a piece of crap. It's got 4.9 now million views on that post of mine for some reason. Broke through the algorithm for some reason. And then the Dave Portnoy goes on CBS News to complain about this. I don't know if we can watch the video because I think there's curse words in it. I think it needs to be censored. I don't think we have a censored version. But suffice it to say, Dave Portnoy is doing one of his pizza reviews on the street of Mississippi, of a town in Mississippi, and somebody walks by and apparently throws pennies on the ground in front of him, says F the Jews, I think he may say F you, Dave Portnoy in particular. And, of course, Dave Portnoy is outraged at this. If you don't know the backstory of this, it's because Dave Portnoy owns a bar, and if you get a bottle service at the bar, they make a big show out of it, and they have sparklers, and they have a sign, and you can write what you want on the sign. And a couple of months ago, a young guy, I think he was like 19 years old, gets a bottle service at his bar, and he writes, F Jews, on the sign. And in response to this, Dave Portnoy went ballistic, and he doxed the guy and threatened to send the kid to Auschwitz, literally. It's like, I'm going to send this kid to Auschwitz. He makes these videos where he's like sputtering and vibrating. And he's just like, how dare you say that about my people? And he's just like so fear. And he wants to like kill this kid. He's like, I'm going to find this kid. I'm going to ruin his life. Like he's literally making these threats. And then he like literally like calms down. He's like, I've decided not to ruin the kid's life. I've decided to be merciful and to only give him a talking to, give him a severe talking to. And it's like, because he said F Jews on a sign, you baby, you child, you pathetic loser. And again, you know, it's just this example of like the overwhelming response, right? Oh, somebody said they don't like Jews. Well, I guess they should die. I guess we should kill them then. Because that's not just the worst sin. It's actually the only sin, okay? Everything else is permitted. Everything else is fine. But if you dare to not love Jews, you're going to be in trouble. So obviously, when you go into a hysterical, shrieking, hissy fit over a certain phrase, guess what? People are going to start using that phrase on you. You absolute moron. Like, I'm going to make a video that lets everybody know that if you say this collection of words to me, I will melt into a sputtering pile of idiocy. And then people say the phrase to you, oh my gosh, wow. They're so bad. So I was making fun of Dave Portnoy over this. Just moderately, but the man is a weasel. He also is just a complete poison, societal poison. His whole empire is built on exploitation, gambling, getting people addicted to things that are bad for them. And then one of his employees was like, yeah, I don't know, maybe you shouldn't have acted that way. And he's like, you work for me. How many Jews have to be killed before you stop? And he's just like this freak out, meltdown, insanity. And then he's like, threatens the employees' job for saying that, like, yeah, somebody shouldn't have their life destroyed over a joke. Okay, so then Dave Portnoy goes on CBS News to talk about this incident, the second incident, the coin-throwing incident, okay? In a world that is just insane with the most vicious hate you can imagine flung at really everybody constantly, but mostly in particular to white people. I mean, I want to, like, which are you more offended by? Are you more offended by the edgy college student saying the thing he knows Dave Portnoy will scream about? Or are you more angry at a highly respected international publication like The Economist writing a long, thorough, well-thought-out condemnation of white children being born? Which is more offensive to you? That a child has the temerity to say F the Jews? Or that The Economist and Harvard University and every other major leftist institution is seriously engaged in the literal genocide of white people? Which are you more offended by? So, you know, I wasn't even going to cover this, but I did bring the video in just in case it came up because of how absurd it is that a Jewish person getting their feelings hurt has become national news. It is a national news story. We're all expected to care about this vicious psychopath, you know, baby idiot getting his feelings hurt. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't robbed. He wasn't even threatened. A college student said F the Jews to him and threw pennies on the ground. And this is a national news story now. This is a national news story. And CBS News, recently bought by Larry Ellison, Barry Weiss in charge, has decided that this should be a fixture on their national broadcast to let poor millionaire Dave Portnoy cry about somebody saying mean words to him. He was offended, don't you know? I mean, they didn't cover when, you know, every right-wing personality out there was having SWAT teams called to their house. I don't think CBS News, did they give us interviews? Did we get to go on and talk about how people were literally trying to kill our families? No, obviously not. No, obviously not. And again, this ties into everything. I wasn't even going to talk about this because I've already talked about it enough. And it's like, you know, I don't want to spend 3 hours just talking about how Israel and their Jewish collaborators here in America are systematically destroying our every right. But I guess it's sort of an overwhelming thing. I guess I have to. Darn it. Sorry, guys. Let's go to Dave Portnoy on CBS News crying about his feelings getting hurt. A big bad bully said mean words to Dave Portnoy, and now it's a national news story because he's Jewish. Clip 19.
I've seen in my own experience, just being Barstool, the difference between how much hate I get. I mean, occasionally you get a kike or Jew or whatever. It's every day now. Like, there's a definitive shift in what's going on. So yes, now I, for me, being a Jewish person, like, you gotta step up. You're kind of someone people look up to in the Jewish community. You have to be like, all right, this is not normal. Ha ha. With the guys, people are coming up with real hate.
Yeah. I really hate you. Not Jews. I don't hate Jews. I hate you. I think you're poison. I think you're a bad person, that our country would be better off if you weren't here and had never arrived here. Every time I'm out, they pull me back in. I can't escape. No, it's, for the most part, it ain't real hate. It's literally jokes. Again, you cried like a baby, you absolute imbecile, because somebody said F the Jews. Now other people are saying F the Jews to you. Why? Because you showed them it works. Because you are a giant pussy. Do we have the video of the assault, of the attack? Do we have video of the victimization here that led to him having a prime time? Does it have curse words? I don't want to. All right, let's go ahead and play it. Just so you can see, just so you can be, you know, I know this is a viewer discretion advised, right? You're about to be exposed to the visceral reality of hate in America. No, it's not the, you know, whatever. What's the average? Like, however many white people are killed by black people every single day. I mean, I did the math one time. It's like 30,000 white women raped by black men a year, and you divide that by day, and it's like every 30 minutes or so a white woman is raped by a black man. That's, we're not talking about that, okay? We're not getting anywhere near that, all right? When right-wingers are you know, having SWAT teams called on them, you know, being forced to walk backwards with their hands over their head while a dozen, you know, firearms are trained at them because somebody's called in that they are, you know, it's a hostage situation and you have to go in guns blazing. It didn't see a single report on CBS News about that ever. I mean, most of the stories that we find out about are through X, and it's the only way they even become national news story. Did CBS News even cover, like, Irina Zarutska having her throat slit on the train by a black guy saying, got that white girl? It seems like a little bit more of a concern to me than millionaire Dave Portnoy, giant idiot crybaby, having pennies thrown at his feet and a bad word shouted at him. But not to some people. Some people, that is the real bad thing, and everything else is just sort of static. You know, it's just noise. The signal, the real thing to worry about is the feelings of Jewish people, is the, you know, it's like, I want people to be able to walk around American streets and not be slaughtered for their race, not to be knifed like an animal because of who they are. But, you know, I guess some people feel like it's better to have Jewish people be able to walk around and never be criticized and never be disliked or admonished or cursed at. So, you know, I guess we all have our priorities. So let's go to the video of this attack, this assault. Viewer discretion advised. Here's the visceral reality of Jew hate in America. Let's watch.
I like it. Hey, with fuck the Jews! Fuck you, Dave.
Oh my gosh. But he survived. I mean, but Dave Portnoy, he survived. Oh, don't worry, guys. It was a close call there. They rushed him to the hospital, and he did, in fact, survive. So there it was, the attack, the assault. Oh, my God. Quick. Somebody get the news on the line. Guys, we get, this is a national news story. Everybody in every corner of the country must learn and understand how it feels to be Dave Portnoy, giant man-child idiot. Now, the reason I'm making such a big deal about this, during the last commercial break, I happened to open up X to see that not only has Dave Portnoy gone on CBS to cry about people rightfully hating his despicable visage, the person that did that, the person that threw the pennies at Dave Portnoy, has now been expelled from school and arrested. Okay? Alleged heckler busted, withdraws from university, and he has now been arrested with a mugshot for the crime of insulting Dave Portnoy. This is what we like to call Jewish privilege, folks. You heard of white privilege. It doesn't exist. Jewish privilege is if someone insults you, they get arrested. If somebody, you know, touches your phone at a Florida university, they're kicked out of school. And the Department of Justice launches a hate crime investigation. If you're a white person, you get attacked regularly by somebody yelling, got that white girl, you know, whatever. It's just average day. That happens. Let's move on. But if you dare to insult a Jewish person in this country, you're going down, son. And if you're against this, you're a Nazi. Remember, the Nazis are the people that don't want Americans arrested for their speech, for disliking the ruling class of this country. You see the distinction I was trying to make at the beginning of the show? That this whole thing about the Nazis and the Republican Party is so absurd because it's the very people making that claim that are literally Nazi. I mean, they're not literally, but they support the Nazi program. They support the idea of using the state to silence dissidents, of arresting people for their speech if they go against the authoritarian demands of the ruling class. Do you understand what the real divide is now? The young man accused of throwing coins and yelling F the Jews at Dave Portnoy, at Lord Portnoy, at King Portnoy, his majesty, his liege, who is above reproach. He's above insult, okay? How dare you? We need to bring in the Crack Amico song. I need the crew to find the Crack Amico song about Dave Portnoy. We need to go out with it at the end of the show. Outside of Mississippi, Pizza Shop has been charged in the high-profile case. Brandon Lovelady, public information officer for the Starkville Police Department, tells TMZ officers arrested 20-year-old Patrick McClintock on Monday and charged him with disturbing the peace. Disturbing the peace. Because he yelled F the Jews? He's disturbing the peace? That's a thought crime. That's 100% a thought crime. Because if he'd yelled anything else, he wouldn't have been arrested, right? It's not illegal to throw pennies on the ground. It's not illegal to yell anything. It's not something like fire in a crowded theater. So it's not that he yelled. It's not that he threw coins. He didn't assault anybody. He didn't start a fight. He didn't disturb the peace in any recognizable way whatsoever. It was what he yelled. It was who he said he didn't like. Just trying to follow my own advice here. And not say what I'm thinking. Yeah, this is intolerable. No, this is completely intolerable. Again, did this kid advocate sincerely for Jewish people to be eradicated from the face of the earth? Scott, that's what the Jewish professor in Harvard says about white people. Did he write a sincere article claiming that Jewish people giving birth to Jewish babies was some sort of insidious plot to grow their population and that resources should be spent to lower the number of Jewish babies born every year? Because that's what The Economist published this weekend in their article by a Jewish person. And if we were to arrest everybody that said F white people, I mean, it's not even a possibility. It's too many of them. But if we were to arrest all the people writing articles very sincerely advocating for policies to eradicate white people, then we'd be called anti-Semitic because they're mostly Jewish. So I guess we can talk more about this. I guess we can get into more of these topics. So this guy yelled F the Jews and has now been arrested for disturbing the peace. The state of Mississippi allows courts to impose enhanced penalties if a violation meets the criteria for bias, motivated, or discriminatory reasons. This remains under investigation. So maybe a hate crime that he committed with his word. Yet if he'd said a different word, it wouldn't be a crime. It's the word Jews that is the purpose of the criminal charge here. And I guess they're going to, you know, enhance that with some sort of hate, you know, addition. Maybe he's a terrorist. Maybe he'll be deported. He's already been kicked out of school. Again, it's just, it's like almost funny. Portnoy and his Barstool crew were in town ahead of the Mississippi State versus University of Georgia football game. He was filming one of his One Bite Pizza reviews when the incident went down. Just yesterday, the Barstool founder appeared on CBS Sunday Morning saying he's experiencing daily anti-Semitism. Yeah, that's you, dumbass. Here's a question. Do you think Dave Smith gets daily anti-Semitism? Do you think Ron Unz gets daily anti-Semitism? Do you think Glenn Greenwald gets daily anti-Semitism? Do you think Max Blumenthal gets daily anti-Semitism? Does it have anything to do with you being Jewish, or does it have everything to do with you being a reprehensible scumbag moron? There's a lot of Jews out there that don't experience anti-Semitism because they aren't trying to silence people or arrest their critics, because they don't flip out and wanted to kill somebody and destroy somebody's life for daring to not love the Jews. There's a hell of a lot of Jews that are on our side of these conflicts that seem to avoid the anti-Semitism somehow. I don't know how they achieve it. You literally, Dave Portnoy acts so objectionably like such a hysterical, pathetic worm that he makes people hate him. And then the hatred that he draws unto himself, he then turns around and says, this is anti-Semitism. Something has to be done about this. Just like Bill Burr, just like Ben Shapiro, just like Netanyahu and the entire state of Israel. It's like, can you, for a single moment, think about the fact that it might, just might, be your fault for behaving in the way that you do? I wasn't even going to talk about this. I was going to go to calls. I was going to talk about other stuff. Now here I am talking about how Jews in this country have unearned privilege that is causing the resentment, causing the hatred. Yeah. Now we got to talk about it, Dave. You create the problem. You create the conflict. You piss everybody off with your abominable behavior, and then you want to criminalize reaction to that. If they wanted to maximize anti-Semitism, I'd give them the advice, just do exactly what you're doing. You're doing great. If your goal is a rise of the actual Nazi party in ways that are beyond edgy jokes or, you know, refusing to bow to the arbitrary restrictions of the mainstream, if you really want to create a movement against you, keep it up. Do exactly what Dave Portnoy is doing. You need Dave Portnoy, you need Rabbi Shmuley, you need Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin out there every single day with Jonathan Greenblatt doing exactly what they're doing every single day with the full support of the establishment. Really make it clear to everybody that it's not just you as an individual, it's the media companies, it's the law enforcement, it's the lawyers' guilds, it's the DOJ. Make sure everybody knows that all of these powerful national institutions are at your beck and call. And while it may be impossible to get justice for literal attacks and murders in this country, if anybody dares to insult or look sideways at a Jew, they will be destroyed. They will be kicked out of the university. They will be thrown into prison. Let's finish the show today. I'm so sorry for the callers, but the fact that this kid got arrested, really just that last bit of sanity I had going. Let's close it out with Crack Amico. Take it away, Crack Amico. Tell us about David Portnoy, please. Only one thing is sacred, that's Davey. Don't joke about Jews, nah. Don't joke about Jews, hey. Don't joke about Jews, don't joke about Jews, don't joke about Dave. You can laugh about blacks, you can laugh about gays, you can laugh about immigrants in them cages. Joke about anything on this earth, but if it's about Jews, then you might as well save it, bitch. Don't joke about Jews, nah. Don't joke about Jews, hey. Don't joke about Jews, don't joke about Jews, don't joke about Jews, don't joke about David. You are a homo.
You are the reason InfoWars existed. You're the reason we've had so much success. You're the reason the globals hate our guts. I couldn't have done any of this without you. And now we're so close to being shut down. We fought so hard. We never gave up. We never backed down. But they have the state receiver appointed. He was here today. He can shut us down any time. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of November 6th, Thursday, November 6th, 2025. And you have until this Sunday, just 3 days, to take advantage of the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com, which I don't own, but finances the new network and keeps InfoWars on the air so the bad guys can't shut it down. You get great products, the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, collectible knives, and so much more, and you keep this operation on air one way or another. I am the InfoWar. My crew is the InfoWar. The caller, the guest. All of us are the InfoWar. They're not going to shut us down. We're not giving up. The fact that they've come after us so hard is a testament to how far
we've come against them, and they know they can't continue to operate. They're going to lose if they don't shut us down. So be the reason we stay on the air. Huge sale, 25% off store-wide on top of huge sales, 50% off with things like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. It ends this Sunday. Take advantage of it right now at thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute all of you, and thank you for being at the heart of this fight. You are the spirit of 1776 worldwide. You are the resistance.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.